And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona, FM to B. EA beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Defy, not obey. You know, that's a Nick Swart is a national chair of the Libertarian National Party, and he lives right here in Phoenix, Arizona. Now, I did not know this. Until, you know, we were just last week. I'll pay attention. You know, I don't care. But Nick, we've known him since he was a kid. He's Frank Sorek's son that used to come to some meetings, and then he becomes national chair. Boom. And we're going to find out. We're going to do 2 hours, and we're going to find out everything. Because I want to go, how the heck did this happen? So we're going to talk about that. Now, Nicholas Sarwark is, am I saying Sarwark right?
Sarwark, yeah.
All right, I win. Chair of the National Libertarian Party, born in 79 when I graduated high school. Holy crap. Nicholas Sarwark is an unabashed second-generation libertarian with a strong commitment in fighting on the party's behalf against unfair ballot access obstacles and the exclusion of qualified candidates from public debates. Sarwark has been an active member of the Libertarian Party since 1999 and has served on the Judicial and Bylaws Committees of the National Party. He also served as chairman of the Libertarian Party of Maryland and as vice chair of the Libertarian Party of Colorado, where he played a key role in recruiting the state's 42 Libertarian candidates in 14 and supported the passage of Colorado's historic marijuana legalization initiative in 12. Professionally, Nicholas Sarwark has been a criminal defense attorney and has worked over 10 years in the private sector. He served as a deputy public defender in Colorado, trying more than 30 cases before a jury and arguing in front of the Colorado Supreme Court. He also has more than a decade of experience in computer consulting and sales. Damn. In 2014, he moved to Arizona with his wife and two children to join in the operations of a family business, the oldest independent auto dealership in Phoenix, founded in 42. Wow. Throughout his career, he developed a commitment to high-quality service, which he now applies to raising the National Libertarian Party standards for support of state offices, members, and candidates. All right, so he's gone all political. Why? Wait, give me from the beginning. Your father. You got to start with your dad. I mean, there's no getting around it. All right, so let's go with dad.
So I'm a native Phoenician. I was born here in Phoenix. The house that I was born in isn't there anymore. I think it's
freeway
made way for the 17, which I got to drive today. It's going faster north than south, and you know, I lived around the country. My mom and my dad, they split up when I was pretty young. So I bounced around. I lived with my mom mostly. But I would come back for the summers and, you know, hang out around the car dealership. My grandfather and my grandmother both worked there. My grandfather passed in 99. My grandmother in 06 or 08. Get them confused. But, you know, they were there while I was growing up. And so I grew up around the car business. It's part of the reason I stayed away from it for so long. Yeah. Is I wanted to do my own thing. You know, my father got straight into it and, you know, he built a successful life in that, but I wanted to see if I could do my own thing first. So when I was here for the summers, you know, my dad was pretty active in the Maricopa party back in the, you know, Harry Brown, probably the first Harry Brown, second Harry Brown.
96, 2000.
Yeah. Late 90s, mid 90s. And so he would take me to Maricopa County meetings, and I, you know, picked up a copy of Berglund's Libertarianism in One Lesson. I read that. That made sense to me. And, you know, I was a voracious reader as a kid. I don't get enough time anymore, but I read a lot. And everything I was reading about libertarianism made sense. So basically, I've been a libertarian since I was 11, 12 years old, something like that.
You know, there's... we had to have crossed paths, because that's when I was...
Remember you. You don't remember me. That's how this works.
You know, I kind of... didn't your dad always wear
He wears a hat.
Yeah.
And he had a mustache.
Okay.
It's like trademark mustache. If you watch late-night TV... I was the kid. If you watch late-night TV back in the 90s, there's some commercials. You can find them on YouTube. I've been putting up some of the archives. Yeah. And, Consolidated Auto Sales, 16th Street in Van Buren. Oldest independent car dealership in Phoenix.
You know, Kennedy... Uh-huh. You know, down there has a car lot. His daughter Lisa was county treasurer.
Yeah,
you know, during that time too. You know, and she owned the bar, the Maverick, up on 19th Avenue, and she ran the car lot. And
right,
you know, their friends. Heck, I remember I helped them 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm out putting up some awning that they did to helping them with a bum. I had to pull my gun.
Yeah,
I mean, they were trying to. I'm going.
It's
like,
not.
Yeah, 2 o'clock in the morning downtown is not the place to be. You know. But but it's in the middle of town here in Arizona, and it's been there since 42? Oh, my God.
1942. There's one car dealership that's older than us in the state of Arizona. There's a little used car dealer in Tucson, and, you know, until they go out of business or I find the right people to burn them down, we just get to be the oldest in Phoenix.
Okay, so this is, you start, so you're, God, 79, what does that make you? How old?
Be 37 in August.
Damn, I'm getting old, man.
I'm getting old, too.
37. I remember when I was 37. You know, it wasn't until I was probably 35 that, you know, they kind of stopped calling me kid. You know, you still get the kid? Are you still kid?
I get a little bit.
Well, you are party, so that helps.
It's, you know, the position cuts through a little bit of the kid.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a tough balance because... I try and have fun with it. You know that. You've seen me when I'm not, you know, doing official stuff. But when I'm
not
doing
enough.
Official stuff,
not
it's
enough.
Serious business.
No, we got to get you and the family up here and the grandkids and doing kind of, we've been the last few days. A lot of people, family's been around going up to the Jackalope. It's just been full. So today, last night, tonight was, you know, we got, and then as soon as I get done editing, boom, I'm heading up there. You should go this week.
I got to go to L.A. tomorrow for a, fundraiser for Johnson.
Didn't you just do one?
Yep, with Drew Carey. That was week before last, maybe. I had sort of a whirlwind because I was up at Freedom Fest speaking, introducing Governors Johnson and Weld on the main stage. We did a panel, me and Matt Welch with them. I did a breakout, which I think you can find video of on Facebook about diversifying your political investment. That was pretty well received. Then we had a national committee meeting on Sunday. I flew back Monday. End of that week, my wife and I flew out to LA for Saturday for the Drew Carey event. I came back. Then Monday morning, I flew up for a secret event, or it was secret at the time. you know, you got to maintain operational security if you want things to not get out. But flew up to Salt Lake for the day for... Senator Mark Madsen up in the Utah State Senate, a direct descendant of Ezra Taft Benson, had just drove back from the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, where he and his wife were delegates, and he held a press conference to announce that he was switching to the Libertarian Party. And his wife actually gave a really just tear-jerking story about how, for her, it was like... She had walked precincts for Sims, who I guess was a big deal up in Utah way back when she was a kid.
So who is Sims?
Congressman, maybe. I never looked him up, but, you know, she had been inculcated with the Republican Party since she was a little kid. And for her, what was happening was like mourning the death of a family member. You know, this was not so much the party moving away from her. This was someone she loved dying. She isn't for sure.
So what does that mean? Because of Trump?
Because of the whole thing that leads to it. You know, it that's an environment that was created where those seeds can sprout.
All right. We're going to go back to the 12-year-old Nick when we come back, and we'll walk it through. He's got, you know, criminal defense attorney, national chair.
This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I specialize in helping you find the real estate that fits your needs. Whether you are looking to purchase a home or a piece of land, whether it's in town or a rural setting, I can help you find exactly what you are looking for. Most of us are aware of the turbulent times ahead and will need to settle in a place that will suit our particular desires, not only to protect our families, but to thrive in the coming downturn of the economy. Unfortunately, that time is not in the future, but it is upon us, and if you are going to get ahead of the game, now is the time to prepare. Qualifying options for new loans are narrowing, the dollar is being devalued every day, and living expenses are on the rise. So I have created a useful tool on my webpage at DonnaHancock.com that will allow you to search for properties at your leisure that are of interest to you. Simply click on the Search MLS tab at the top of my webpage to begin your search today. Start preparing for your future, and when you are ready to move forward with your home or land buying purchase, we can work together to get you and your family ready to flourish. Feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, and let's get started today.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Nope, not allowed.
Not allowed.
No Led Zeppelin, man.
Oh.
Now you get, nope. Why? Because MPAA. Yeah, we used to be. See, we were talking about this social network. He goes, God, you got to update your Facebook. I go, no, you update it. Don't care. Because, and the reason is, and we're going to be talking about this, because he's got his big, iPad Pro toy thing, and he hadn't put it down since he's been here. So the thing is, he's one of them.
One of them.
Well, the thing is that, you know, the social networking deal, yes, we do have all of the crap. I got the Pinterest, Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, feed the multiple Facebook crap. And they go, Ernie, I Facebooked you. I go, well, that ain't going to do you any good. Because I don't look. And the reason is this. I understand when social networking was really just emails, email lists. You had your own contacts when we first started and the internet started getting going. We're heavy in the Libertarian Party when you were a kid. Right. And I'm going, oh, we see where this is going. When it went from the bulletin boards and kind of went to World Wide Web, you started having, you know, on-ramp and indirect. You had these consolidations of bottlenecks of power. You know, what could and couldn't go, and kind of we control and we, you know, blanket and you're not allowed.
Right.
And I go, yeah, I can see where this is going. We started Freedom's Phoenix. We knew we had it in our heads, the whole concept, in 96. We were waiting for video. 10 years later, boom, here we go. In 05, we started beta. We went beta in October of 05, and then boom, we've been over 10 years. We started doing all the social networking and everything, but then it became very clear. It was this. Whenever I played, boom, you're flagged. Not allowed, MPAA. I heard 5 seconds of Led Zeppelin. You're not allowed. I go, screw you. I'm not on YouTube anymore.
Right.
Now I use some YouTube, whatever, and we're on Vimeo now. We have our own servers, all this kind of, it's a libertarian philosophy.
Right.
And I am not in the intellectual property thing. No, hell no. So what we are doing is the distributed internet that, man, I can taste it. It is right there. So we'll go up to Jackalope. We'll have a lot of the guys that are really pimping out my social networking again for one reason. Hey, we're on social network. Look, and we're over here now.
Right.
It's all a direct, we're over here. Why, right when you go to that, and we're over here. I am not, because they're not your friends. They're Zuckerberg's friends. Of all this Facebook stuff, tell me how many emails of those people, of your friends, do you have?
I'm a little different.
Well, you probably do. I mean, you understand my point.
Well, man, we're going to go deep into the weeds. You ready?
No,
are you ready?
Do it. All go, right. Man.
So,
national chair of, he uses social networking because, damn, you know, I would be surprised if you didn't. But
yeah,
go.
I finally got my verified profile on Facebook. I got the blue check mark of freedom.
Holy crap.
Mark Zuckerberg thinks I'm a real dude.
Like, I know what that means. What the hell does that mean?
It means that Facebook has verified that I'm really Nicholas Sarwark, the chairman of the Libertarian Party.
Oh, that, well, hell.
That way, if somebody puts up a page that says Nicholas Sarwark and it doesn't have the blue check mark, that's not really me. That's some jackass trying to pretend to be me. You get a little app that celebrities get. It's like Facebook Black. Anyway, so here's the philosophy thing, right? And I run into this. I fly a lot. I fly more than I enjoy. And I talk to people. Mark Bennett, he's a criminal defense attorney down in Houston. And for a long time, he wouldn't fly anywhere because TSA and, you know, F them.
We're not opt really, out, man. Right. You're going to feel me up. Give me some.
And that's the compromise I've made, is I got to fly, right? I'm not going to slow my life down or try and drive places when I'm trying to go, you know, East Coast, West Coast all the time. I have to fly to do the work that I have to do, but I opt out every time, every single time. Yep. I get up to the little thing and I say, you know, I want to opt out. And it's not because I'm afraid of radiation. I used to go through those same scanners in courthouses all the time. I don't care about the radiation. I care about the work. I want it to be work for people to violate my rights. I want them to put in effort. I want them to take time. And it's the same as, you know, protesters who passively resist. You know, you don't punch a cop, but, you know, maybe you guys have to help stand me up. Maybe you have to unchain me from something before you get to arrest me. You know, I'm going to take the ride anyway, but I'm not going to make it easy. You know, it's the same philosophy that I had when I was a public defender. I'd have clients who, you know, facts are not so good and we're not likely to win a trial. And people, the prosecutor would be like, why are you going to trial? I said, because the Constitution, because we can, because, you know, you can put this guy in prison.
It's not
but
that
you
my
gotta
guy,
do, you got to do the work.
It's not whether my guy's guilty or not. It's whether you can prove it.
Right. And yeah, then they're like, well, we can prove it. I said, fine. Well, we're going to take a week and you'll prove it. You know, and at the end of the week, is my guy going to go to jail? Yeah, probably. But I made you work. I'm going to make you work as hard as I can. And sometimes I would get better plea offers for my clients because they knew that you were that kind of lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a training director, the public defender's office, used to say, you know, how you practice law determines what kind of lawyer you are. And what kind of lawyer you are is kind of like what kind of poker player you are. You know, if you're a poker player where the ante is like, you know, whatever pocket lint and paperclip I can pull out of my pocket, you know, they're going to call you every single hand. But if you're the middle of the Bellagio poker room, you know, it's a $20,000 buy-in, serious poker player, they're not going to call you as often because it costs a lot to play with you. And so be that lawyer. Be that lawyer where, you know, it's like Princess Bride. It's not to the death, it's to the pain. Bring some pain. Make it cost a lot to fight you. And that will redound to your client's benefit, and it'll just make you a better lawyer.
No. Your ears I leave. So that every scream...
Exactly.
...and ring in your perfect ears. Okay, exactly. This is... You know, and we have a lot of experience as a criminal defense lawyer. You know, Mark Victor.
Right,
we're always
right.
working, doing something. And he's kind of that. He's that way. He's the bulldog. Nope, going to trial. Not going to trial. We're a talking trial. And that's one thing I got to mention is that there has never been a libertarian event that I didn't go to and go, oh, God, man, you know, I could do better than that. Give me the mic. Just fix it. Except this last national convention in Orlando. I got to tell you, by the highest standard of anybody of whatever, Nick Sarwark freaking took care of business. I was never so impressed that everybody got to have their say. Everybody was recognized at the microphone, even the buttheads, and his initials are Aaron Starr. So, you know, I never saw that everybody got represented. They got to say their piece, and it ran smoothly. And within 20 seconds, literally, that you would turn it over to, you had to do something or nominate or do something that not as chair. And Jim Lark was up there, former chair, 20 seconds, total mayhem. Yeah. Boom, you're like, move, give me the damn microphone. Boom, 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 fixed, okay? And I'm going, Nick did such a good job. And even at the LNC meeting on Monday after, there's some behind-the-scenes detail that I want to just kind of, we'll talk about. Nick might not want to talk about it, but I get to talk about it, you know? And we got 2 hours. We're going to finish up the rest of the half of this hour and the next hour. Get into the weeds behind the inside machinations of the party in the future.
This is your Robertson Roberts Brokerage Daily Precious Metals Update. In early trading Tuesday, gold is up $12 at $1,364 per ounce. Silver is 27 cents higher at $20.77 per ounce. Bitcoin is trading at $607. Gold and silver have been quietly outperforming the stock market all this year. Perhaps it's time for you to diversify your savings. Call Roberts & Roberts at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Libertarian Party National Chair Nicholas Sarwar. And we're just yakking it. We're going to get into the philosophy. He's been exposed enough to our craziness here in Arizona. And I'm wondering, you know, what kind of impact that had and the style of, and what the hell made you go and be national chair? Well, we're going to find out. You know, welcome to the show, audience, and of course, you know, we may do some off air. That's when all the good stuff is. We should probably just leave the mics on. But the you know, I really was impressed. This is what happened. We have a lawsuit that is, you know, election law, and they're ouch, quit it, and the Republicans hate libertarians in Arizona more than, you know, freaking Muslims. So
they're going to hate us more next year.
Yeah, no, they're
I'm gonna make sure they hate.
I'm with you, brother. Different level, different thing, but I'm just, you know, it's a long story. We have our senior editor, you know, he just passed away, Pal Gamel, and I really appreciate we got to say some nice things. You said some nice things, you know, at the national convention in regards to Pal. Pal was the reason why they passed a lot of these laws here in Arizona. Because he was by far way more than the determining factor of who got to be the Republican or Democrat Congress, you know, for Arizona in that district. And it was because the libertarians, and he was a good example, has such an impact on the result of the elections, they got to get rid of them damn libertarians.
Right.
You know, them damn libertarians, you're just mucking up stuff. And then they're inside the walls with Ron Paul. Oh, my God, we can't have that, you know. So this is something that James Corbett and I were talking about in the last hour. The world is decentralizing. The world, we don't have enough government. We need, like, I don't know, another 7 billion governments down to the individual on my own government. Well, it's getting to the point where that can happen. And what represents that is libertarian philosophy.
Right.
That's the point. Well, you're using the political process. I go, yeah, I don't vote, but I mean, you know, I run.
You know, And we've had this argument, and we'll have it probably another couple times. You know, it's a tool in the toolbox. It doesn't fix everything, but it's also. So I had this argument with somebody. We have a lawsuit right now against the Commission on Presidential Debates. We have two actually that we're the Libertarian Party is a plaintiff in. One is we're actually working with Peter Ackerman, who's the guy behind Americans Elect, the one who thinks that Bloomberg ought to be president, but. We agreed that the CPD is screwing some stuff up. And so that one's actually, it's funny, it's an FEC lawsuit. We're suing the FEC for not enforcing their own rules about bipartisan campaign commercials vis-a-vis the CPD. So we're basically using administrative FEC
what
law.
What bipartisan campaign? Oh, you mean like the debates?
The debates are a bipartisan campaign commercial.
Got it.
The other one is with Our America Initiative. Jill Stein and Gary Johnson are plaintiffs along with the National Green Party. And that one is suing the CPD on antitrust grounds, that they're colluding to monopolize this market and political thought. And somebody came up to me and said, you know, antitrust, that's not really like a libertarian thing. We don't believe that there should be antitrust laws. I said, yeah, you're right. We don't. And as soon as you take that weapon out of the arena, I won't use it either. But if I'm on the floor of that arena and I have something that I can hit you with, I'm going to hit you with it. I'm going to hit you hard. And it's the same way I feel about, I don't think the FEC should exist or any of their administrative rules. But if I can hit the CPD with FEC's administrative rules, I'm going to do it. And that's, it's not the only tool. It may not even be the best tool,
all right.
But I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to beat the crap out of them.
I understand, and we've had this argument before, and this is one of the big things that was the state chair in the mid-90s, was a guy named Rick Tompkins. I don't know if you remember Rick. And he ran against Harry Brown for the nomination in 96. And the reason was we were so adamant about that campaign is because Harry Brown's campaign wanted to take federal election matching funds. And I heard these same arguments. Well, if you're on the battlefield and the British drop the weapon, blah, 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 blah. I'm going, I understand all these arguments. Our position was this. You cannot principally argue against social and economic welfare and say, yeah, but we're advocating for political welfare for our party and party candidates so we can tell you we don't like welfare. And I'm going, it just does not work.
It's a good argument. You might be right.
It's a great freaking argument.
You might
and
be
I
right.
am right.
No, you might be.
But that didn't change the people.
I might be too.
Right for what?
That's the question, and that's a decision that really, you know,
it's an individual thing.
It's an individual thing. You have to decide kind of what your relationship is going to be with the state, what your relationship is going to be with your friends and family, what your relationship is going to be with everything. Like, these are decisions that you have to make in your own life for you. And so for some people, you know, we were talking I think at the break, you know, for some people, they won't go through the TSA checkpoints. They've decided that they will not participate in air travel anymore because there's, you know, a lack of freedom there. Some people like me got to fly a lot. So I need to get to places and I'm willing to make that compromise. But then I opt out and get the blue gloves of freedom every time, you know, just because it's a special service that my tax dollars already paid for.
You know, when they first started that, and I just go, I'm like, no, hell no. I even had, there was a local magazine here called me, hey, they took down the machines, you win, Ernie, you know, because we were doing the We Won't Fly TSA thing and the little opt-out bags, you know, the fresh blue gloves, because, you know, we were just being real buttheads, you know, Godzilla radiation dosimeter badges for the TSA. And on the back, the reason they, this is my opinion, the rapiscan, whatever, turnoff thing that was, you know
Homeland
Security, and then he went to sell these, you know, whatever.
Wait, there was cronyism in government contracting? You're kidding me.
So obvious. And he almost didn't even have to, you know, seriously. Well, what happened was when they did that, we were such adamant against, you know, just the concept of it. Well, they changed it to a different machine. Look, Ernie, they got a new machine. You win. And I'm going, oh, like I'm going to believe him this time, you know, because they were radiating the crap out of everybody. And what we did is we had these radiation dosimeter badges. That was Godzilla on the front. It had different levels or whatever. And on the back, it goes, look, Mr. TSA agent, this is for you. They have no liability. They're going to fry and cook your testes, man. You're done. And I go, and they will not allow you to wear a badge. Here, it's MS Dosimetry out of .com out of Florida. And we worked out a deal, $13. You get this, put it in your pocket and kind of send it. And then, you know, then all of a sudden they go, you know what? We need to change these. We don't need these anymore.
Right.
And it was so effective just being creative that way. But when you started doing the opt out, when they first had, I go, opt out. And they go like this. They go, opt out. We got an opt out here, over here. We got an opt out.
Right.
So when I go up, the first time I go, I want to opt out. I want to opt out. And they kind of look at me and I'm going, yeah, screw you. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So then they go, then it became more professional and that wasn't working for them.
The Sky Harbor guys, I mean, I got to give them props. I've had nothing but good professional experiences. It's a stupid thing that they shouldn't do. But, you know, these are guys. This is the thing about
people. They were
people,
even nice when I had 2 9mm magazines one time.
Well,
I was going to Mexico.
That was a bad idea.
I was going to Mexico, and I love me some TSA. I'm glad they got those before I went to Mexico. That way I'd still be there.
Mexico is not as understanding. No, I mean, they're professional people for the most part. You know, there's some that steal stuff, and there's bad people everywhere. But I believe you can't be a libertarian. I ascribe to Stoic philosophy. You know, which is the idea that everybody is fundamentally good. Everybody wants to do good things for their lives. And to the extent that people do bad things, it's because they have a misapprehension of what's good and bad. And so maybe they're just not educated. I don't think you can be a libertarian without being a humanist, without being an optimist about human beings, without believing in people. You believe that people are fundamentally good. And I think that these TSA agents, you know, they're all good people. They love their kids and stuff. They just have a job that probably shouldn't exist. And they do the best that they can at it because some people told them, you know, this is what you got to do. And then they change the rules in the next week. You know, they're like, oh, yeah, take all the potential binary explosives and chuck them into a waste bin with all the other potential binary explosives. That'll be safe.
There's so much that we can talk about. We're going to go ahead. I think we'll keep the mics open during the break. You have to go to the archive where the secret handshake stuff is. We'll be right back.
Not going to be whispering into the microphone. I'm going to
talk
in my normal voice.
1, 2, 1, 1, 2, 1, 2. Yeah, that's a lot better.
That's okay. Good.
Yeah, because I've been getting complaints too. But you sound so purdy. I just same way yours is on the thing. Okay, this is
it's because Donna was kind enough to get me some coffee.
Bulletproof. Man, make you stand up tall. I need to get back to your history. I wanted to finish in this last segment here. I wanted to get early days of. So you graduated high school in what state or where?
I never graduated high school. Dirty little secret. I have a GED.
Well, I mean, what's the story? Because you didn't care? I mean, what?
No, I was homeschooled for a while. I actually was done. I started college at 13 or 14. I forget.
Really?
It was a ticket out of having to do the high school thing,
Well, are you a 170 IQ or I just don't like high school teachers, the school, I was moving around enough, I don't care.
Why not both?
Go.
I got a little bit of a head start. I finished undergrad at 18. So I did on the 5-year plan, but if you start early, it helps.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So you kind of went in straight into, we're going to bypass all this kiddie crap, and I'm just going to, get the business.
Yep, pretty much. That is my mom's choice more than mine.
But when did you get your law degree?
Like, I would rather, hang out with other kids, and my mom was like, yeah, it's kind of a waste of time.
Well, how old were you when you got your law degree?
No, I got that in 08, so...
Gosh. So you decided to go back later?
Yeah, I clerked for the Institute for Justice in law school. It was Institute for Justice that actually got me to go to law school. I saw what they did, ironically.
What the hell is this libertarian freaking expectation?
So here's the deal.
Of yours, man.
So when I got out of undergrad at 18, I got involved in the Maryland Party. I think I was state chair by 99, maybe. Might have been 2000. And, you're tapped into all the libertarian stuff and you read Reason and you see IJ. And that was when they did that story about Vera Coking. Vera Coking had a house in Atlantic City. It happened to be next door to a casino
that was owned by the
Republican nominee for president. And he decided he wanted her house. And so he was going to use the government to steal it from her. And thanks to IJ, he wasn't able to do it. They didn't actually win on the legal merits. It's a sort of technical thing, but Vera Coking got to keep her house and I think died in her house. And I saw that and I said, being a lawyer can be something that can be useful for people. Like you can actually do good. You can fight against people using the government to steal from other people. And so I decided to go back to law school. So I went to law school part-time to try and minimize how much debt I had and give myself a little more control about what I could do. And I had the honor during law school, one of my summers, to clerk at the Institute for Justice. And didn't ever work there full time, but some of the things that I learned there were pretty impressive.
All right, we'll come back. We'll whiz through this when we come back here.
On the air and online, this is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Chain, chain, chain. 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 Chain, chain, chain.
Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain You know, are they the one that's participating or not participating? And what is participation? They go, well, Ernie, if you don't vote, you don't get to have a say. I'm going, yeah, you know, let me tell you where my vote is. Every freaking sign I put up, every show I do, every story that we share, every, it's a psyop. You know, and elections are just a, you know, you would think that it would be a representation of what people are thinking. It would be a representation of preferences, be a representation. And I go, the whole act of voting to me is just, it's just cattle being slaughtered, get in the chute and hit and pull the lever of, it's a computer that somebody says the number and this is how successful you were, so saith the computer of somebody that's not even the government, it's a private institute, kind of, I don't care. And I'm going, if I'm measuring my success based on what this computer says, the vote of everybody, if that's it, we're screwed. And I'm going, that is not it. It is a culture thing. Now, voting and representation and how much they want us to think we're free or something, that is maybe a manifestation of, you know, preference. But I'm looking for the free market. I'm looking where people go, where they make money, what they choose to do, how they live. There's so many other ways. So I'm like, as you're sitting over there on freaking immersed in your social networking, you're taking all the pictures you did, you promoted all this, everybody's listening to whatever.
That's a really good picture of you.
You know, it is. Thank you. you know, the thing, I have the other pictures, I don't have the beard. I'm glad you got it with the beard, because I'm about ready to shave it off. Once I hit under 200 pounds, I'm losing weight, and I just kind of, nice. I go, when I hit under 200, I'll shave it off again, I'll be party like you. But, you know, we'll work on it. But the thing is, oh, I noticed I got my hair cut. You know, my bald spot's going away. Freaking A, man. 5 years of juicing will do it, you know? So just do that and you'll be all good. But the, we're in the same, I really look forward to spending more time with you. Hopefully your family come over and grandkid and kind of, you know, because I really impressed with your work. And it's just, we're on the same page. We have the same goal, little bit different, you know, focus on it. But I know you understand, even as a kid. I mean, you knew, you understood what we were doing and why. And the impact. Why is it always Arizona? Arizona, it comes out. Arizona's, you know, the most gun-free. Arizona's the most drug-free. Arizona's the most talking people and the attitude and government of. And there is a separation between government and the people, and understand that line more than a lot of states.
The West is pretty big on that. Going back to the not voting, because I have to give you something for that. It comes back down to, why not both, right? You know, why not plant a bunch of signs and then still just go and do your vote? Because voting, voting might be like recycling, right? Not all recycling is actually economically viable. Some recycling works, some recycling doesn't. The economics aren't always there. But how hard is it to, like, chuck the can into the recycling bin versus chucking in the trash? Did that save the earth? Maybe it didn't. But, you know, it's a thing that you can do. And the problem with not voting, the real problem with not voting, is that people don't know what you're doing. And I know you're very open about what you're doing, but no one can tell the difference in the election results between you and the guy who decided to, like, get high and play Xbox on the first Tuesday in November.
Or go do something productive.
Or go do something productive. But the there is not a clear signal that's sent by not voting vis-a-vis voting libertarian. Voting libertarian sends a signal, right? Spear Lancaster, who ran for governor in Maryland.
Everybody is under the assumption that it is accurately portrayed.
Maybe it's not.
It's not.
Maybe it's not. All right.
So I'm
but
like,
why not try?
No, I
why not
tell you,
bother?
I tell you where the try is. It was the Lovelution. It was that.
Yeah, I get it.
I am like, man,
why not both?
There was some try in there, and it had nothing to do with going into the machine at the altar of the worship of the democracy of the lie.
Spear Lancaster, when he ran for governor in Maryland, he since went back to one of the old parties, which is unfortunate, although he's still kicking, which is great. Really nice guy. Used to say that, you know, some politicians are dumb, some politicians are corrupt. But every single one of them can count. Every one of them can count. And
no,
the thing that
they don't
count,
they read the number that they show on the TV.
No, I mean,
which is
you
total
could,
BS.
You could be right about
I
it being
am
BI.
Right.
Okay. But they count whatever that BS number is.
Yep.
And so when you put something in the column that says libertarian, it sends a signal that says, one, I'm willing to, you know, take the time out of my life to go stand in line and, you know, punch a box or whatever. Two, even though I'm politically engaged enough to do that, I'm still not voting for either of your two old parties because I don't want the government to run my life. I don't want to pick between which bully's allowed to steal my lunch money. I want less government. This is a party that stands for less government. Count me in that column, you politicians who can count. And as that number creeps up, things change. When the Clinton that I actually enjoyed his presidency, when he got elected in 96, there was nothing that showed, or see, 96 or 92?
It was 92.
Prior to 92, there was nothing that indicated that he really cared about deficit spending. That wasn't really a big deal for him when he was in Arkansas. It wasn't really a big deal at all.
It was when the Republicans were bashing him over the head.
Well, it was when Ross Perot comes out and pulls, you know, X% for deficit spending. He wasn't interested in deficit spending. He was interested in being president a second time. He could count. And he went and shifted his whole deal and actually got us down. I mean, got rid of the national deficit, not because of any deep fiscal conservatism that's somewhere in his bowels, but because he wanted to be president again. And he knew that he had to get those people who had made a specific signal. They'd sent a specific signal that says, this is something that's so important to me that I will get off the reservation of those two old parties. I'll get off the plantation of those two old parties. I will walk because this is so important to me. And he sees that block and he knows if I don't get some of those guys back, I don't get to be president again. I like being president.
I wonder if I've heard this argument before.
I'm shocked if you haven't.
My whole thing is
doesn't make it less right.
No, it puts faith in the number.
No, there's no faith in that.
I don't have faith in that number.
I don't have faith that they're not cheating. Maybe they're cheating.
Of course they're cheating.
But,
you know,
we don't. Just because they play dirty doesn't mean we quit.
It doesn't mean that we. You ever get the impression I quit anything?
Sometimes the refs in sports are, you know, in the tank for one of the teams. But those teams don't stop playing. They don't walk off.
I'm the guy wearing a rainbow afro in the end zone and selling peanuts, and we're here for the show.
I get you.
It's their sportscasters.
But they're all voting there, too.
Why not? It's their field. It's their ball. It's their everything. And the only thing that we can do is we even get inside the stands. We sneak in. Is this whole thing is crap. We get walletvoting.com. I'm like, it's where you put your money. But what do I identify as? Liber-freakin-tarian.
Exactly.
I ran for national chair four times.
You did. Dirty little secret. I voted for you on first ballot every chance I could.
Thank you. And the emphasis that I gave was on, look, where is the real focus? It's a psyop. It's a mentality. It's a preference. And the Levolution, no matter how successful that was, you still get, you know, in the party. We should take all that energy and all that effort that you did, and we're going to put it over here towards and be the Bob Barr Revolution. You know, I'm going, wow.
That doesn't transfer that well.
It doesn't.
Well, they're different people.
Well, Gary Johnson, we've had, you know, fundraisers for him. He's been a friend. He's on the show a lot. Right. Gary, we're good. The problem is he comes at national conventions. Ernie, we need to get back on. I go, I can't do anything with this weld thing. It's like, I mean, what are we going to talk about? Not weld? I mean, I just can't. So I'm going, but I can emphasize libertarianism. We're looking to promote Just Wise, the VP guy for...
Judd Weiss.
Yeah, Judd Weiss. What was that VP for?
McAfee.
So
Tell your players without a program.
Pardon me?
Can't tell your players without a program.
I got you. But the thing is that they had great videos that be a libertarian. Let life live. That is one. When we have a Senate candidate we're doing here, we'll do a campaign. But I can't serve up the Republican governors and the stuff that they're saying and say, this is libertarian. I can't do it.
I'll help you.
Freaking you! This is what
I'll do my best.
We're gonna have an impact because I want to move the ball. I got grandchildren. I got a life here in Arizona, and I'm not going to take steps back. And how can we take steps forward and overlap? Well, we are. I'm a candidate.
Right.
You know, I signed up.
We're moving forward.
Doing whatever. I don't emphasize that.
If you ever watch rugby, you know, they're not allowed to throw the ball forward. But the ball always gets forward. You know, sometimes lateral motion is the way that you get around other people.
Nick, the best representation or the party. We're going to tell you that.
AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers, and some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any tomfoolery. So go with AgoristHosting.com. And if you want to get your foot in the door with decentralized marketplaces, Agorist Hosting is now offering Open Bazaar hosting. Go to agoristhosting.com. Click on the button that says Get Hosted. Agorist Hosting. That's A-G-O-R-I-S-T hosting.com.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live, after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
From Keene in the Shire, the Liberty Media capital of the world, this is Daryl W. Perry, host of FPP Radio News for Wednesday, August 3rd, 2016. Silver is trending at $20.59 per ounce. Gold is valued at $1,364 per ounce. And according to BitcoinAverage.com, the average price of Bitcoin is $555. Antiwar.com reports, in addition to the 10 detainees actually charged with something, Guantanamo Bay continues to hold some 66 detainees totally uncharged with any crime. These detainees have been held for years, many over a decade, and many for no real reason. Musab Omar Ali Al-Mudwani, a 36-year-old who arrived at Guantanamo Bay some 14 years ago, did not do anything. Captured during raids targeting foreigners in Karachi, Pakistan, the Pentagon assumed he was part of a six-person Al-Qaeda cell in Karachi, so named because they caught six people. Lacking evidence, officials eventually dialed back their accusations, and a parole board finally cleared him for release this week. Madwani is the 33rd of the 66 uncharged men that has been approved to be released, though when and even if these 33 will actually be let go remains uncertain, with heavy restrictions even on the release of innocent men from the detention center, making every release a protracted and heavily politicized battle. Ultimately, the number is more likely to go up than down, with 17 more uncharged detainees facing parole hearings and a lot less difficulty in getting someone approved for release than there is in getting someone already approved for release actually out of detention. For nearly 40 years, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has been a trusted source for buying and selling precious metals like gold and silver. They also take Bitcoin for precious metal purchases and have permanently removed the minimum purchase amount for all orders paid in the digital currency. Call Roberts & Roberts today for knowledgeable advice on buying and selling precious metals and a forward-thinking approach to new technologies. 800-874-9760 or visit online at rrbi.co. UPI reports the Delaware Supreme Court issued a ruling Tuesday that said that the state's law that allows capital punishment as it is presently configured violates the U.S. Constitution. The High Court issued its decision in the test case of a Temple University Law School graduate accused of killing a classmate last year. The problem with Delaware's law, the court concluded, is that the language allows judges to overrule juries and hand out death sentences, a violation of rights guaranteed by the Sixth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which says juries must unanimously vote for and independently qualify a convict to be put to death. Delaware's law states that judges are not bound by jury sentencing verdicts in cases they are not constitutionally able to apply the death penalty, thus giving them an unconstitutional final say, according to the court. Tuesday's decision follows a U.S. Supreme Court ruling in January that struck down a similar provision in Florida's death penalty law. Delaware and Alabama are the only other states that have language in the law that allows judges to supplant a jury sentence of life in prison with death. Delaware can continue to put prisoners to death for capital crimes, but only if the General Assembly passes a revised statute that removes the language allowing for judges to overrule a jury. If you're fed up with the government running every aspect of your life, but you're not listening to the Lava Flow podcast yet, what's wrong with you? Go right now to thelavaflow.com/listen. The Lava Flow Podcast, channeling the flow of information to the libertarian, anarcho-capitalist, voluntarist, and agorist community. Subscribe today using any podcatcher at thelavaflow.com/listen, or just go back to sucking up to the government. The Lava Flow Podcast, striking the root every episode. Reuters reports a blaze that has scorched some 43,000 acres and destroyed dozens of homes near California's famed Big Sur coast was sparked by an illegal, unattended campfire in a state park, according to authorities. According to U.S. Forest spokesman Don Jacques, the so-called Soberanes fire, which erupted on July 22nd, began as a small blaze, 2 feet in diameter, ignited by an unknown individual in a section of the Garapata State Park that was closed to camping and campfires. Jacques added, no arrests have been made. The more than 5,400 fire personnel battling the blaze have been able to draw containment lines around only 18% of the wildfire so far, a measure of how much of its perimeter has been cleared by fire crews of unburned vegetation. Steep, mountainous terrain as well as hot, dry conditions have hampered efforts to quell the fire, tearing through the drought-parched chaparral, grass, and timber. One person, a bulldozer operator hired by property owners to help battle the flames, died last week when his vehicle rolled over. It was the second California wildfire-related death in a week. This has been FPP Radio News, online at fppradio.com.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
You know, I vote. Yeah, I think I even did vote.
Yeah,
I voted.
See, you voted.
Damn it. Damn it. That, okay, hypocrite.
Changing minds.
Yeah, I voted. I like the way that they did. Now, I know there's complaints and they want to change and we need and this kind of method they think is going to give them an advantage of somebody who wants to do something different and you know who the guys are. But what has happened is, and a lot of it had to do with a lot of things that we were complaining about. The way that it's done is each state has to have paper from somebody, you know, right. People, and they take their little vote paper on the back of a business card, post it the 3x5, who gives a crap, and it gives it to the chair, and then he marks a summary sheet, you know, that he turns in and goes up. Then they put up the entire 50 states up there, or however, whatever it is, I don't know if Guam gets to go or not. But anyway, they have that set up there, and they go, okay, here's the totals that we have for each candidate from each state. Take a look at it. Everybody look. Make right. sure you're right. You got, like, you know, you got 10 seconds or so to check your state. And you look at it, and you go, are we all good? Anybody complain? We're good. Boom. Then the totals.
Right.
I feel a lot more comfortable that way. So I'm willing to participate in something that I don't feel like I'm, you know, it's all BS and getting screwed. I don't care how many guys they bus in. I don't care, you know, who brings who or whatever. At least the freaking, you wanted it that bad, show up and the
right,
vote's
spend
back.
The money.
So I'm going, okay, so we're good. Then, and I go, I vote Nick. But it's not because of, you know, the position or what you're doing. One, you do it well. And I know you at least understand the people on the other side, because you debate us all the time. You're at Freedom Fest, this conversation came up. I want to, you know, you can say whatever you want, but I want to go ahead and just, you know, prep us with this one event. As I was in Orlando, Bill Weld, the governor from
Massachusetts
formerly, that was kind of, he was a little bit, I mean, he's still counsel on foreign whatever this and secret handshake of, I'm a Republican governor. So, I mean, you know, that doesn't happen without being somebody's whatever. But he was a little bit, you know, kind of, I don't really care about this marriage thing. I don't really care about the drug war as much as these guys. I'm kind of, so you go, well, that was an inspiration for Gary Johnson when he was a governor in New Mexico. So that's how they kind of know each other. Well, I was talking to Bill Weld and Governor Weld, and we're sitting there just yakking, and I'm, you know, kind of got a little gray in the beard, so we're just hanging out. And he goes, yep, I'm here to, you know, like, you know, Libertarian Party, Save Libertarian Party, more recognition, Libertarian Party. And I go, you know, I'm looking around. I'm seeing a big shift. I've been coming to a lot of conventions for a couple decades here, and I'm telling you, there's a big shift in the party right now. These guys are not Libertarian Party. They're Libertarian. It's a philosophical thing. It's a choice. They may be here at the Libertarian Party. They may, you know, come here and vote at Libertarian Party. But when you're out on the patio, you know, smoking a little whatever, you know, the cigarettes or something out in the kind of, you know, outside. And you know, these are the guys that have been around since the 70s. A lot of young guys. Austin Peterson brings in some young people to the Facebook crowd. You got, you know, McAfee and his group. You got Daryl Perry and them. The whole other side out here, you know, and you guys, and he wins with 50.6% kind of thing.
31 votes.
You know, I'm going, you're looking at this whole other side. They're not in the same mindset as you. They are philosophical libertarians. It is not a club that they're just wanting. Well, that's not what they told me. They're telling me with the Libertarian Party, we need to fix the Libertarian Party. I got Libertarian Party. And I'm going, all right, we'll see how that works out. There are people that see the Libertarian Party as the end to the means. I mean, that is the goal, to be the third party of, you know, we rule you now. It's our turn at the brass ring. Pick us. Where a lot of people are kind of, yeah, that may be, you know, the manifestation of a much more larger cultural thing, which is kind of what the Ron Paul Evolution kind of represented. This next generation, which is where Austin Peterson and all these guys came from, and Daryl Perry and a lot of the other stuff. And so I'm going, this is where the battle is. You represent the Libertarian Party. We are at the best time economically, philosophically, the news, the wars, the what, and that's another thing. We gotta go, why the hell in the Libertarian Party just embracing this anti-war thing? But so you're going, we're going to use the party as a mechanism and a means to represent or demonstrate or show or influence something. And I'm going, if we have to count on a political party to do that, we already lost. Because it's too much consolidation, representation of power, and it's easy for $10,000 or $100,000 at the right moment, and I own the Libertarian Party now. And I'm going, and here's, you know, the coctopus just sitting out there waiting for their turn again. And I'm going, okay. So I am sitting here trying to, I'm not sitting on my hand. Oh, the people you guys just sit and don't do anything. Yeah, we're busy enough. But it's in a different way. And I'm just going, okay. Make your case for us to go participate. I run for office. I haven't voted since 2002, but I've run for freaking federal office, statewide. I'm gonna go get some. But why? So I can put a freaking sign up and they can't take it down. That's the only reason.
So I told you I would tell you this little story about Freedom Fest. So Matt Welch and Nick Gillespie were doing a
panel. I know Nick from Reason. Who's Matt?
He's the former editor-in-chief, because Nick moved over to the TV side. Matt was the editor-in-chief, but now he's their special political correspondent for the presidential election. So
got it.
I see him a lot this year. So they're doing this panel on the future Libertarian Party, and I had wandered in there for some reason. I was looking for somebody. And they're like, hey, Sarwark, he knows a little bit about the Libertarian Party. Let's bring him up. And I took some questions. And somebody said, you know, the CPD thing, right? The debates, we have to get 15% in 5 polls. What do you think? Do you think that they're going to, you know, pick polls that don't include Gary Johnson? Or they're going to pick, you know, polls that are 4 ways to try and keep the numbers low or whatever? I said,
oh, no, they'll be fair.
I said, I told him, I said, look, you know, I fully expect that if they can find 5 polls that don't include him, they're going to choose those 5 polls. If he gets to 14.99%, they're going to keep him out. I expect them to cheat with both hands, and I still want to beat them. We're still going to play, and we're still going to win, even though it's a rigged game. And that's the point that I'm trying to make about voting. I'm not saying that there's not corruption or fraud, or, you know, I'm not saying that your vote is likely to be the decisive vote in an election. I'm saying that sometimes we still play in a rigged game because we don't get to change the rules, but by God, we can show up, right? You know, sometimes the Washington Generals never did seem to beat the Harlem Globetrotters, but they were there every single game.
I am not in opposition to any. I challenged 44 election laws all the way to the Ninth Circuit. I did oral argument before the Ninth Circuit.
That's fun.
I'm up there and I'm like, Richard Winger, we stayed at his house. He was in the courtroom with me.
I love Richard.
Okay. So we're sitting there. He knows my principles. He may not agree and he wants to, play in politics and I don't care. But, we're friends. So we go there and Bob Anderson and I, we're up there and we're giving an argument. I'm doing my thing, man. Boom, boom, boom. And it's when I first got burned, too. So I was in bandages. They tried to stop. But, but I'm here, man. So I go up and I do my whole spiel. They go, Ernie, these judges, they're never going to rule in your favor. Right, wrong. I mean, it's clear that we were right.
Right.
And I go, I don't care.
You got to try.
There's no try. There's only do. Right. I wasn't there to try and win. I already won. I wanted them to say it. Say what? I don't know, but I want them to freaking say it. I want you on record.
Right.
Say it! And that's what I wanted, for them to say it.
Right.
Because it was clear what was going on. I am in the battle at every freaking level. But I never, ever am going to put my success rate based upon a number on these computers.
That
is never freaking going to happen. Because at the end of this process, look, we lost. If you don't think you won the day before the election, you already know you won. You lost. If you didn't win by then, it's too late.
I get it.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
A little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me.
Satisfy me, baby. Okay. Now that Viva Las Vegas was a Freedom Fest, and Nick Farwerk was, a prominent figure there, and there's a lot to be discussed, and we're talking about freedom and everything. This is the one thing, in off air, he and I, going at it, and we're mopping the blood off, the floors and walls and everything. But, the main thing is that I've gone through, when he was, I'm graduating high school when he was born. There's different generations, the influence and the way the party is now, and the different factions and all that kind of crap that I just never really cared about anyway. It's different, and he's in a different environment, but it's because of these older battles.
Right.
Having been in the Institute for Justice, having been in Washington, having worked in the libertarian kind of the coctopus of whatever the money thing.
They didn't pay me.
It doesn't matter. There are cloud over there. And not that I even care. See, what we're talking about is it was the 80 campaign. I don't know. Was it Charles or Dave? I don't remember which one.
80 was Clark Koch with Ed Clark and David Koch.
So David, they gazillionaire. So they threw in some money, a million, whatever, and they do a block of time and 5-15 minutes of Be Libertarian.
Back when you could buy network TV, they did half-hour blocks.
A half hour?
Yeah, it was a serious thing. That you could,
ABC, NBC, yeah. CBS, and boom, you get a half hour Libertarian is.
Back when there's only three channels.
And people went, what the hell? If you had TV on, you got libertarianized. At least you got exposed to something.
Right.
And they just went, hell no, we don't want that. Well, at the time, there was a battle inside, because I wasn't there. You hear all this later. And the battle inside the Libertarian Party, are we going to be practical? Are we going to play actual politics? Are we going to abandon this principle freaking, you know, purist thing, and you bunch of hippies that want to smoke dope need to get with the program and kind of a little bit of gun control or something? And so they wanted to be more politically viable, whatever that was the point. Well, the people that created the Libertarian Party in during the Nixon administration, when they started doing wage and price controls and the EPA and OSHA and all, they're going, oh, hell no, we're going down the dark side. We're done. We're over here. Right. We're going Gulch Gulch kind of thing. And the Libertarian Party was to be an educational medium, using the political process for people to even understand what the freaking issues were. And once you start getting a little bit of traction, they go, ah, we could be, it could be, we could rule. So that has been the battle. When Koch and friends couldn't just go in convention and take it over because there are too many hippies left, you know, they go, well, screw you. We're taking our money football and we're going to go create Cato and in San Francisco. And then they moved to D.C. and they got their own thing. But they're always back there. They're always out there. There's always money in the freedom. Kind of, I'm dealing with a bunch of the guys here. Goldwater, Americans for Prosperity, a ConCon thing, and now they got the free square mile of whatever the heck. All this stuff is going on.
Right.
And we overlap and work with them, and I know all the guys. I, you know, supper club, if I get it.
Well, the none of us quit. I mean, that's the beauty of libertarians. Nobody's quitting.
That's the point. The libertarian movement is so much larger and effective outside the Libertarian Party, or at least has been, that it is so much bigger. When people think libertarian, a lot of times I don't think they're thinking political party.
Not yet.
You know, it's a philosophy. It's a lifestyle. And I'm going, yay. That's much more, I guess, enduring. So I'm going, all right. With that understanding from my perspective, we're at what stage now? Because you've been influenced by a lot of this. You know this is out there.
Right.
I mean, hell, you lived it as a kid here, you know? So now you're like in a position of influence and power. I got a law degree. I work at family business. I spend traveling around the country, hobnobbing with the boys of National Libertarian. I was, you know, with Institute for Justice. I get it. And you're exposed as a young man into, you know, kind of our craziness here.
Right.
You know. So now, what's the future?
The future. So the big battle in the party, and you talked about it a little bit, the battle over which way do we go? You know, the do we go the Bill Weld route, or do we go the Daryl Perry route? I think the key to moving forward now is to not have the battle again. So in 83, there's Earl Ravenal and David Berglund. These are the two potential candidates for president in 84. And Ed Crane was kind of the guy for the Koch side back in Ravenal. And Murray Rothbard was kind of the guy for the Berglund side backing Berglund. And they had this big fight, and then, you know, Koch side didn't win, and the Koch side walked. And that's a bridge that was burnt when I was four. And so I think we could probably rebuild it by now. Murray's dead. But the bigger problem with what happened in 83 wasn't
Murray being gone, is that a good thing? I mean, you're saying
Murray was kind
principles?
Of a, Murray was a bomb thrower. Murray was a very smart man. I actually have a Murray Rothbard silver round, but also he was kind of a dick. So the bigger problem that I have with what happened in 83 is not which side won. It's not whether Berglund or Ravenal was the better path to take. It was that we allowed ourselves to be boxed in with the choice of either or. We didn't answer the question with why not both. We didn't figure out a way to have everybody come together under a bigger tent and figure out how you're doing the thing that you want to do, I'm doing the thing I want to do, but we're all moving the ball down the field. And sometimes there's a lateral pass, but we're all still going down the field. It's the reason why I'm not going to try and convince you not to go out and do the activism and all of the cultural stuff, but I still want you to go and vote anyway. As an and, not as an or, not as a this is, you know, how I define success, but hey, one of the things I'm going to do on the first Tuesday in November is go and vote, in addition to like going and picking up milk at
as
the store.
As a message of what? As a what?
As a not silencing your own voice. And maybe it's a voice that's going to be distorted through corruption, but not choosing to silence yourself.
I'm not accused of being silent. You know, I mean, it's like, it seems like, no, you is, must kiss the Pope's ring of worship at the state of the voting booth. I mean,
it's like the social media thing we talked about earlier. You know, you can choose, you can say, well, Zuckerberg runs all this hoo-ha, whatever, and you can choose not to engage in Facebook, or you can say, look, you know, I get it. He's watching me. He's using me to sell ads. That's a thing. But this is also a communication tool, and so it has pros and cons, and I'm going to use it. That's how I look at voting. It's not the be-all, end-all, but like Spear Lancaster would say, all politicians can count. So let's help them count. No, I think where I'm trying to take the party now is I'm trying to make it so that we have a political party that can, you know, I would be happy if the Kochs want to get back involved again. I'm not opposed to that. But I also will be happy if, you know, some of the more radical anarcho-capitalists want to get back involved again, too. I want everybody working for this because the Libertarian Party has the distinction of being the only political party in the United States that it stands for the idea that everybody has a right to pursue happiness any way they choose as long as they don't hurt anyone else and they don't take their stuff, which is fundamentally different from every other political party.
No, but it's also fundamentally different.
But it's also fundamentally different from every other organization within the libertarian movement. We're the only ones who get to stand up on stage with the old party opponents and put the lies to the fact that they're trying to run your life and we're not.
Not yet on a national level. We'll see how that works out.
We're working on it.
But here in Arizona, we're participating in all the national, kind of the statewide debate of the what? How the hell did that happen? Why did that happen? What was the mechanism for that happening? Oh, do you want to repeat that around the country? You might follow some leads.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mamas. I think the whole world's addicted to the drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism. But we still got terrorists here living in the USA. The big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all, y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurting and crying. Can you practice what you preach? And would you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above.
Right here, Undeclare Your Independence. Nick Sarwar, he's, you know, where's the love? Yeah, we got, you know, we can do it here in the Libertarian Park. Hey, oh, that was not, we didn't get into that. Weeks. He's running against you, and he, you know, tried to do the stripper thing on the thing, and we're all sitting there, yeah, whatever, you know.
He didn't win, did he? Oh, yeah.
But, you know, my thing was, is
may
that
may have been a poor strategy.
I just, he had 10 minutes. I go, he's not going to use the whole 10 minutes, is he? It's kinda, but, and we're just like, you know, I saw it as a meme to promote New Orleans. The Libertarian Party partays. I'm going to New Orleans in 18. You know, mm-hmm. Some activists from Philadelphia made the point. They go, you know, they gave him a lifetime membership or something. They love him. They go, he took one for the team because he got all the attention, so they didn't know about Bill Weld.
I think, like I said, I'm not sure the gentleman's strategy worked out the way he wanted it to.
You know, it was so inkind. I just don't care. But one thing that we had at the national party that I thought was interesting, it was Memorial Weekend. So you had a lot of the Johnson Weld supporter people that did come. They were organized. They had a group. They had at least, I don't know, 300-something people, you know, that already decided. And you had, what was it, 850-something delegates? How many?
We pushed on 1,000. We were, like, in the 990s.
Okay, so you got, like I say, 1,000 delegates.
Biggest convention ever, as far as I know.
It was well-run. You did a fantastic job. No getting around that. So what happened, though, is that you had enough people represented that it was, for Arizona, for the first time in the decades, I can remember, there was no none of the above votes on the first round. They were represented, and that national debate was, I think everybody got represented. The tapestry of what it is to be libertarian was there. If you could see the tapestry all the way from, you know, Gary Johnson, you know, to, you know, Daryl Perry, and you got the full gambit of, you know, I kind of get the flavor of this libertarian thing.
And it was fair, which is exactly. Kind of a special different. Thing in national political conventions.
Even libertarian national political wow. conventions, because it's the executive committee and how the database and which database and how you communicate with it. And you did your best to keep it fair. You're going, right. Okay, I may have a preference, but we're going to do this fair, or my preference isn't going to matter. You know,
I got one vote.
So this is what happened. And you stepped down when you needed to do your endorsements or whatever the hell you want to do. So my thing is that I am looking, fortunately, you live in Arizona. I have, you know, forever represented the other side of, you know, I don't care.
Right.
And you're kind of, you know, the bridge now between these guys that I saw at this convention, the same old, same olds that have been just this DNC, Hillary's our person kind of crap that they did.
Right.
Is exactly what we've witnessed and seen for decades inside the Libertarian Party. Don't deny it. Okay. So my thing is your administration, when you're coming in and do this, there might be some way that the Koch brothers and the anarchists and the Daryl Perrys and the Johnsons and everything, yes, we can work together if we're allowed to.
Yep.
And you making that available, as you know, and we have different strategies and do whatever. I have done, behind the scenes, I don't know how much you talk to Michael, I do my best to knit together Libertarian Party to make sure it's viable here. It is a tool that we use and we have some fun with and do right. a lot of things. So I'm not anti-party. It's your peace, freedom. Go do what you want. But don't sit there and whiz on my back and tell me it's raining. Don't go, you know, well, but we're going to do this and the computer's going to be accurate this time, or we're going to do, I'm going, no, 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 no. Don't, uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's why it's our, you know, mantra at Freedom's Phoenix.
Right.
I am so sick of being lied to. Tell me the truth. Treat us fairly. Everybody gets to have a voice. And we're good.
Yeah.
I think this convention demonstrated that with the election and the selection and the internal party officers that were not in place, that were not elected, that were not part of the LNC anymore.
Funny.
The future, and as I looked at it, a lot of people didn't see it. Johnson Weld represents. See, they finally, we got two Republican governors representing. It's kind of milk toast.
We have the most qualified ticket, and
based
if you,
on what?
Based on. So look at walk. Go with me for a minute
right.
down this garden path.
No, not that I'm. No, I guess this is the point that I want to make, and I'll let you go ahead and do yours. Is that what I was building up to? Is this the machine of what they always wanted? They got this election. They got their two Republican governors that kind of know how to spell libertarian, and they're not Bob Barr, okay? So I'm going, there. Now we can see what it... But inside the party, I see the shift going the other way. So we'll see where the meld is.
So if you had asked me a year ago whether or not of the three political... the three, you know, fully national political parties... whether or not the Libertarian Party would have the most qualified candidate for the job that they're applying for, even as party chair, I'd be like, well, no, of course they're going to, you know, one of those old parties is going to put up somebody that actually knows how to do the job. Didn't happen. You know, you've got a reality show star and a lackluster Secretary of State up against an experienced two-term governor who would have been reelected again, except they have term limits in New Mexico, who got elected as a Republican in a heavily Democratic state and then got reelected after vetoing a bunch of stuff, right? He managed to do the stuff where you cut back on things and they still elect you, which is like a unicorn, right? That's a unicorn in American politics, and it's so much what the country needs. And this is what I've been telling a lot of voters who aren't libertarian yet, is... take away party labels, take away names and personalities and all that crap, and just look at it as like you've got a callback for a real important job, and you've got three resumes, And two of those people just aren't qualified for the job, and one of them is. So do the right thing for your country, man. Like, get past party and just say, look, this is the most qualified person for an important job.
As if that mattered.
As if it matters. If you don't think the job's important, that's fine, too. But
no,
you should,
I'm saying those
shouldn't.
Qualifications do not... I give you an example. There was
they
a
matter.
Guy,
they matter a lot to people who aren't you.
Okay. Let me. I'll give you a perfect example. There was a guy out of Tucson that David Eichenauer, you know, his libertarian attorney down there, used to be county chair in Pima and so on. Yeah. He comes to me and he said, you got to meet this guy. He's great.
Eichner.
Eichner. They had a gentleman that wanted to run for Congress, and he got a gig as a columnist for the East Valley Republic, Arizona
right.
Republic. And I can't remember his name, but he was like, oh, man, I'm serious, man. I'm going to be it, man. I'm running for Congress. I'm the guy. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll explain it to you. This is how and what you can expect and what you got to do. And kind of, no. For this job, I'm the best applicant. I got the best resume. I'm the smartest guy. I got a lot better. You think that was a criteria? You think that's how you get elected? Do you really think that is the qualification for being a congressman?
Oh, yeah. No, it's
so
necessary,
you're going to be, look,
necessary
he's good,
but not sufficient.
And he doesn't do this, and he's great libertarian. He's a freedom-oriented, and he climbed Mount Everest, and he gets all the, you look at the resume and the callback, we should, obviously, Gary Johnson
and
with
still
the backup
a lot of
Welch
are...
should be elected, and I'm going as if that was the qualification.
For some people it is, and for other people it won't be. For some people, you know, having a guy who yells at you is kind of what they want. Maybe their dad yelled at him. I don't know.
No. I tell you, the qualification is like James Corbett in the first hour. And all the time, like, hey, man, who's going to be our biatch? And if they're not, they'll just, do a Ukraine, Turkey, whatever, spank coup of I got the guy we wanted. So I'm just, who's we? They, them, those. Won't leave me alone. So it's a psyop on you.
Right.
Now, Nick and I are going to talk about more. Right now. I'm seeing probably...
But it's not a battle, right?
No,
you don't
it
have
is.
To have a fight about it.
That's my point, is that from our perspective in Arizona, when you're younger and we're going through all this battle with Arizona,
right.
This is kind of behind-the-scenes stuff here.
Is
Arizona,
Pete still in Arizona, or did he leave?
Who?
Schmerl.
I don't know. He kind of faded. I tell you what it was. Clean elections here in Arizona where they had, like, you get $1 million
right.
for running for governor kind of thing. That's why they wanted the party. I mean, it was, they were going, ka-ching, we're going to make us some money. We knew that if we got in that, we're done. The philosophy would go down, in our opinion.
Right.
So they were willing to do any and everything.
Right.
To be, because we had, as part of our bylaws and our platform in Arizona,
it's a prize that's not worth winning.
Could not endorse someone that took government money for a campaign.
Okay.
That was our thing.
Sure.
So they go, well, we need to be in charge so we can change that. And we're going, okay, well, you got to get in charge.
Yeah.
Well, they couldn't popularly, so they kind of, legal machinations or whatever. They thought that having the shiny badge meant that there was, this Wall Street Journal, Arizona, the libertarian state kind of thing at the time. And we got a bunch of attention, and there's all kinds of, they thought having the shiny badge, all of a sudden all that support and money would go to them. And I'm going, man, you guys don't get it.
No, it's kind of like, there are a lot of people in the party who said, voter registration numbers are what we have to pursue, right? Or paid memberships are what we have to pursue. Like, that's our metric.
Our vote total is what we have to pursue.
That's what we pursue. All of those are important metrics, but they're all lagging indicators. You can't push on them because it's like pushing on a string.
Mm-hmm.
We have not done active membership recruiting. We did a couple renewal things and some prospecting early this year. We're up to like 17,800 paid members. We're hitting on, I think, mid-90s, early 2000 levels. Like we're back to our peak. Not actively recruiting. By doing the political stuff that gets people excited and then they join. You can't push on that string. You have to pull. And that's the problem with people that say, oh, well, we'll get matching funds. We might. But matching funds should never be your goal. If you make matching funds your goal, you're going to do all the wrong things, right? It's like the thing comes to the people that do the work. You don't go for the goal. You go to do the work, and then stuff comes to you, You know, you try and...
Yeah, it was a philosophy.
Here's the thing, like, when I'm chairing the convention, right? I don't try to control what the delegates do. I trust the delegates. What I try to do is be fair and have them respect me so that they'll, you know, all play nice. Being in a room full of 1,000 anti-authoritarians, it's tough to be an authority figure.
Is that only it's because you go in finally... There's a national chair that's not already come in with the deck stacked of somebody right. put them in and did and kind of this is the way it's going to be.
And then you get what you want anyway.
Exactly. Which is what, whatever you, well, hopefully what you want is just, can we all just get along? I mean,
pretty much.
And so I'm going, yeah, we can. We always could have. But that was, it was like, you don't get a voice. Screw you. Shut up. You don't get to have a say. And we take over and we're going to invade all the state parties that are, you know, got, they nail sticks up and we got a hammer for it. And I'm going, wow, how's that going to work out when the option is F you, we just go over here and do it ourselves, Levolution. I'm going, I can't believe how stupid these guys, but I saw them pushed out. I saw a lot of these guys that are the instigators, a lot of this have been.
They're not as popular as they used to
be. They are not in position. That's what. All right, here we go.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Pledge of Allegiance and stuff, and it was Memorial Weekend, and then you could tell there was some of the crowd that was there, and they, you know, somebody is always, you know, wearing his USS Missouri hat or whatever, gets up and he's like, how come there's not American flag and Pledge of Allegiance and the gold trim of the kind of, you know, in the worship of the fallen soldiers died for, you know, kind of memorial, whatever. And all the libertarians, you know, kind of sitting there going, God, man, these guys just don't get it.
Yeah.
So then
get on the convention committee next time.
You know, like,
get a flag.
You know, so
do the work.
So that do the work. God, man, do the work to what? You see, this is where the Bill Weld thing
came in.
If
it's important to you, you work.
The Libertarian Party was the goal. It is a tool. You make it a tool, and that was all. Me, when I ran, that was my advocacy. When I go, you know, and we demonstrate it with the Levolution, spontaneous order. How come there isn't like 15 gazillion different memes and artwork and posters and flyers? I remember even the Libertarian Party, we always use advocates for self-government flyers on everything because the party wouldn't generate anything. So I'm just going, why isn't there a central, you know, the spontaneous order of all kinds of plethora, a cornucopia of crap for us to make you? Because you're not allowed to do it. There is no repository.
We're past
there
that.
Is no. I'm going.
Everybody's allowed to do it. We've got we've got Facebook groups full of spontaneous order.
Thank you.
The party produced Johnson bumper stickers, yard signs, and door hangers faster than the campaign did because we're sort of unencumbered by the campaign, right? We don't have to run a campaign. We have to run a party. Party members want Gary Johnson libertarian stickers. We make them and we sell them just over cost because. The point of bumper stickers is having them on bumpers. It's not to make money on them.
There's so much opportunity there that has been squandered because it was an attempt at the attenuation of power.
Yeah, control. People want to control.
And I'm going, will you guys stop? It doesn't matter how many examples we can give of it work. I mean, for decades, we show what can be done, and it's like, no. And we don't want to do that because we're not in control of it.
I have more control by not controlling. I did a long interview with somebody who said, how did you get that convention to be so orderly when it's 1,000 anti-authoritarians and I'm the authority figure?
And two different sides, five different sides of it.
And the trick to it is you don't try and control that much. You let everybody have their say. You keep order when you very much have to. But other than that, you kind of let stuff play out. You know, somebody came up to me after the convention and said, after, you know, that one guy who didn't win for chair used his time probably unwisely. And they said, well, we have to have a bylaw with like a dress code and professionalism. I said to him, I get where you're coming from. I understand what you want. You don't want to have that happen again. I'm going to tell you that within libertarian culture, if we try and have that bylaw,
you can pass it.
And he's like, well, it's not against libertarian principles. I said, it's not against principles. We could have that rule. We could totally agree to it. We could do that. If you do it, what you're going to get is going to be opposite of what you want.
14-star child, and all of us up there in our tutus, man.
And he's like, no, I think you're wrong. I said, on this, you should trust me. I've grown up. I'm a second generation libertarian. I've been around all of these people, the whole spectrum. And I can tell you that if you do that, you're going to get something different from what you want. And that's been my role as chair, is I try and help everybody. I try to help every presidential campaign. I try and help people who oppose me on the national committee, people you're probably not fans of. I try and help them do what they want to do as best they can. I will try and facilitate them to be able to do it. I'll vote against them. I'll probably win. But I don't ever want anyone to think that I didn't have to rig the rules to win. When I win, it's real.
They rigged everything.
It's not worth it.
It's just a waste. Ouch quit it, between they want to control in Arizona, and we didn't care. We just want to be left alone. National had the idea that somehow they controlled state ballot status, and it's Potomac water crap.
Yeah.
And we're going, no, the state.
That's not how laws work.
Yeah, I go, it belongs to the state. You guys can do whatever. And that's, a lot of people don't know, 50 state ballot status for the Libertarian Party in 2000, Harry Brown was not on in Arizona. It was L. Neil Smith and Vince Abrenowitz. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because they tried to affiliate with, by our bylaws, we couldn't put Brown on. And we went to Anaheim for days. We're sitting there talking. You guys don't understand. Well, you wouldn't do that. I go, you don't get it. We are required by our bylaws. We can't affiliate with another state. Another party's thing, and you made yourself another party. I go, you guys are just so stupid just foolishly stupid. And we go to Anaheim, and we sat with Pennsylvania, and we're the ones there in our half-face painted blue Braveheart kilt thing. And they were just like, and we're on the front page of the newspaper. Of course. They nominated, and they're going, and behind the scenes, they knew what that really meant. And the thing is that for the first time, and what I was running for, and kind of, Daryl Perry kind of continued this concept of what we were trying to do. And it was very successful, and I was happy the way the convention went. But we're now at a point with you there and your knowledge and understanding of this, when there's a similar situation that's brewing right now in Oregon. Well, we need, and people were running on, we're going to be a party in LNC and judiciary. We're going to kick ass and taking the army and shoot them and whatever the hell. And we will have a consolidated. And you were kind of, your position was what? A split in Oregon.
Is that fire lit up? I didn't see any fire. I missed a fire.
No, I don't know.
That's what being a good chair is all about. It's the fires that never get lit. There's a lot of behind the scenes.
Yeah, no, it's this side, that side.
Right.
And you're going, I'm not picking a side.
Right. You try and stay out of it. You also recognize, and this is something, and you saw it at the very beginning of the convention, if you were there for that first credentials fight. You may not have come for that first day. Oh, yeah. So the big stuff happened. There was an attempt to seat. So the Oregon state affiliate did not send a delegation to National. Mm-hmm. The other group that is not recognized as a political party by the state of Oregon did, and they attempted to have themselves seated as delegates from Oregon, even though they were not the affiliate of the party.
Right.
The credentials committee turned them down, and then the delegates in convention turned them down. And it was one of the few times that I didn't hand over the gavel. They appealed the ruling of the chair, which is a parliamentary mistake because it lets me speak twice to why I'm right. we had delegates from every state except for Oregon. Oregon was, per their wishes, they chose to boycott the convention, and their wishes were respected. And that has an effect, because there's one Ayn Rand quote that I actually like. You can ignore reality, but you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring reality. And there's a reality of which party has ballot access in Oregon, which party is recognized by the Oregon Secretary of State, which party the Oregon courts recognize. And you can talk to me all day about why that's wrong and unprincipled and doesn't meet our principles and we should really support these other people. And you can tell me that all day.
But we remember Arizona.
But as a political party who is concerned about having people to vote for, who controls the ballot access line is the important legal question. The print, it could be completely wrong, right? You could, I could acknowledge to you,
or that, completely
that's,
right.
That's a coup, and it was dishonest and underhanded, and it's anti-principled. But facts on the ground are facts on the ground, right? That's still what's going
to
happen.
Were the individuals of this other faction that tried to get seated, were they seated as individuals in other states?
I think for the most part they were. And that was part of why that argument won the day, was this is a power grab. It's not about them wanting to be heard, because they can totally be heard as delegates from other states. They just can't override the wishes of that state affiliate that they want to not send delegates, because our bylaws are clear. If they send a zero delegation, no delegation may be seated.
What? If they what?
If they send to the Credentials Committee, we will not send a delegation, then the National Party cannot seat delegates from that state. And that was the bylaw that was attempted to be overridden, and respecting those wishes is part of the reason why we will have 50 state ballot access.
Because
we didn't start the fire, we didn't stir the pot, and I did what I had to do to make sure that that fire didn't light up.
You know, and I'm this is why we're going to go ahead and keep talking without commercial interruption until we're done. Because I can see there's a melding. There can be, you know, some cooperation and working with, and kind of, because once you respect the individual to do whatever the heck they want, and you can offer as tools, because we have a lot of tools here in the Arizona Party. I gave Nick the tour. I mean, there's a lot of stuff we can do here. Why would we? Well, they got to stay out of the way first. Okay, now we can just yak it without interruption. How would we? This is my thing here in Arizona. What can I do to forward the ball that I'm willing to forward? My forwarding the ball is not libertarian. The party, screw the party. I don't give a crap about the party.
Okay.
It's a philosophy. It may best represent it. It may give me a sign I can put up and they can't, you know, not supposed to take down. You know, it gives me a lot of opportunities to participate. It always has for decades. Okay.
Gotcha.
When you get, you know, from that, well, you're not, shut up. You can't stop me. For that. Even that mentality, that battle of what they say you can and can't, you know, as an officer, as not an officer, as an individual, it was just stupid for them to even try.
Right.
So now I'm going, okay, now you're in there and you're going, you know, it's stupid for you to even try. And I'm going, amen, brother. Now what can we do? I don't know. We have, you know, the duplicators, the sign production, the T-shirt, the printing. The internet, the multimedia of whatever, but not social networking. That's somebody else's. We are going to be doing it by the next, I think by 18, certainly by 20. The internet as we know it is going to be totally different. It is not going to be controlled where you have things like, they wouldn't do that. I go, really? So when you Google, you know, presidential candidates and only Hillary and Bernie comes up and not Trump, and he's going, hello, did anybody see that? I mean, you guys got this, right? I want to make sure everybody sees this. Go on Bing or something. Come, gotcha. Facebook, same thing. Shut down this, do this, do that. Of course they are. Why? Because they can.
Right.
So I'm just going, what? To think that it's going to be fair is BS. So with the Levolution, we knew that we're going to the streets. We're going to put signs up. We're going to bypass. Even Ron, he'd be like, well, I'm not sure. I'm going, talk to the hand. I don't have anything to do with you guys. I'm like, what do you want me to do? Register Republican and start voting or something? That ain't happening, you know? So I go, you're better off me just don't even talk to me. So right. During the campaign, Ron and I probably spent half hour, 45 minutes over 4 years. You know, of just, and all that was here, you know, take pictures with and shake hands of, and these families and all these kids that spent hours putting up signs, you right. know? So they are very generous with their time on, you know, rewarding these guys. I go, that's all I wanted. So they don't have to stand in line for 3 hours, come backstage. Here's a dozen kids that did all these signs. You take pictures, do the 3 minute and paste and everything. Boom, we're done. That's all
right.
I wanted.
Right.
So with Gary Johnson, even though we're good friends and we get along fine, I can't, the stuff that they've been saying, weld stuff, we need to double down on some security and surveillance and kind of go kick ass, all this stuff, I can't work with that. So what am I supposed to do? How am I? I will work with local candidates.
Work on the local candidates. You know, work with what you can work with, right? You know,
not that I just can't. How could I?
But I'm so.
So you can get party numbers up.
Well, let me. In the National Party has an Advertising and Publications Review Committee. It's a subcommittee of the LNC. It's a confidential committee that looks at every piece of party literature that comes out before it comes out to make sure that it comports with the party platform. The party will not do messaging that doesn't match the platform. And I will tell you that during an election cycle,
you're limited a lot with
during an election cycle, there are news stories that, you know, they may have four things that you and I are totally on board with and the party platform is totally on board with. And then there's this one issue that there's a thing and it's like, no, that's not our platform. And then that story doesn't get published. You know, we don't go out of the way to like throw out, you know, giant, our presidential candidate said something that doesn't match the platform because that's just counterproductive. But we publish the stories where what comes out are all the issues that we do agree on. You know, we focus on the areas of agreement. Ed Koch, the former mayor of New York, used to say, if you agree with me on 9 out of 12 issues, you should probably vote for me. If you agree with me on 12 out of 12 issues, you should probably find a psychiatrist. That you, the only candidate you totally agree with is yourself. And, you know, some of us are a little schizophrenic anyway. So there are things that you can work with, even with that campaign. Even, you know, there are, Bill Weld says taxation is theft. I'm sure that you agree with him on that, right?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. On Monday, it's always Monday at the convention. Other people don't realize. I could see what they were setting up with resolutions of, you know, his initials are Aaron Starr. These guys come up and they were changing, want to change stuff, and you see where it's going to culminate. It's going to be...
The shenanigans do come on Mondays.
The Monday in 2018, New Orleans. I said, everybody that wants to maintain and see this trend of, you better go to New Orleans.
Should we put that on the convention business agenda? Monday morning, shenanigans.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, so because you can tell it's like everybody, they already got the vote. The candidates there want it done. They leave. They get to their airplane.
The win goes Sunday to people night. That show up.
And you need to... I mean, I learned my lesson. I do not put my flight until Tuesday.
Right.
I am staying at the hotel overnight Monday night. I don't leave till Tuesday.
Yep.
We did our show live from the hotel room on Tuesday. I am dead Tuesday because yep. Monday is when it really happens because you have the power of the convention. It can do whatever the hell it wants. And you got the real guys that knew they want
the hardcore.
They want to do something. Well, the hardcore, they want to do something, whatever right. It is. So they're there. But there was enough people. This time there was enough people that knew that stayed. And that's when you get the resolution. Be it resolved, the Libertarian Party taxation is theft. That's part of our, I don't know what the hell is the resolution have.
Did the resolution pass? I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it means that it's the sense of the convention that taxation is theft. I answered the point of order. That thing went viral. I don't know if you've seen it on Facebook. But there's
they
a video.
Ask you, I know, they go,
there's video
is
of Tim
taxation
Perkins. Point
theft,
of inquiry,
Nick?
Mr. Chairman. Taxation is theft.
I remember you doing that. I wanted to get up to that. So that went viral, huh?
Right. So
National Chair, taxation is theft.
So,
thank you.
I mean, you want to do signs and t-shirts? Do signs and t-shirts with Bill Weld's face. Quotation marks, taxation is theft.
Yeah, but
and
that
then you
gets
can,
so much pushback on all the other crap
but
that wouldn't work.
What I'm saying is you go with the stuff that you're on board with. And there are some people that can't get on board at all with the presidential candidate. And that's cool. I don't mind that. What I just ask is go and spend your time and your energy supporting a down ticket candidate or supporting like a marijuana legalization initiative or doing something positive to try and expand freedom for, you know, your fellow citizens rather than there's a couple of trolls on Twitter who just over and over, they want to talk about, you know, this position that the presidential candidate has that's not good, this position that's not good, this position. And they like just want to keep nipping and licking that open wound. And it's like, just get a freaking life. Go do something with your time. Don't attack the nominee. It's not worth it.
You know, it's got to the point now that really for like a decade and a half, I haven't. I don't care.
Right. No, see, And this is why we have such love and respect.
Well,
because
it's not because
you go and do the thing that you need to do.
I just
you
need
don't
to make
waste your energy
this
on them.
This is what I'm afraid of, is the Libertarian Party quickly, without this change that I'm starting to see in what you're doing, I was quickly seeing the Libertarian Party, especially after Barr, the Libertarian Party being irrelevant. It was just irrelevant.
Right.
Nobody thought of the Libertarian. And the first thing that came to mind is probably somebody they knew around that was, right, or Ron Paul or something like that. But it was not the Libertarian Party.
The mistake, I mean, to the extent that there were mistakes made on every presidential campaign, but one of the big mistakes of that campaign was not the selection of the candidate, either of those gentlemen, both of whom are actually nice people. I saw them both in Vegas. The mistake was not differentiating. There's a fundamental principle of marketing, this idea of a unique selling proposition. The way that you get people to buy your thing, not someone else's thing, is you have to be different enough that there's a reason for them to change, because change is painful. That presidential campaign was run as sort of an ersatz, you know, like off-brand cola version of one of the two old parties. And so, you know, if you're trying to sell, you know, Dr. Thunder to somebody who can buy Dr. Pepper and it's the same price, they ain't buying it because this is not as good and I don't know anything about it. You have to be selling water or juice. You sell something that's different.
Well, what is Johnson Weld? What do you call that?
They are actually pushing on issues that the other parties won't push on. The anti-war stuff. Neither of those two old parties are anti-war.
I don't think we are enough. I can't believe that's not.
I get that you don't think we're enough, but they're anti-drug war stuff. You know, the actually cutting the debt and the deficit. The actually, you know, like the people on Reason always say, "Fuck you, cut spending." Not reduce the level of increase. Come up with some 10-year plan where maybe we'll get a decrease if we get enough growth in the economy. Cut spending. You know, they're the only guys out there who are saying, look, I mean, I can't remember if it was Johnson or Weld that said, there is no agency, there is nothing in the government that can't take a 20% haircut. Doesn't exist. I think it was Weld. He said, and this was his experience in Massachusetts, everybody can take a haircut. Government is by nature inefficient. We can cut back. We can cut spending. No one's saying stuff like that. And that's where we're actually providing an option to people that's different from what the old parties are providing. And that's the reason that they're getting the traction and the success. And do they say everything? I think so. I've seen national polling is running, you know, last CNN I saw was at 13%. So we're pushing up on the 15.
How many times have I seen? You need 5% for continuing, 4.9. You need 15% to get it, 14.9.
Statewide polls have been running between 10 and 16%, depending on your state. Mia Love just did an internal in Utah in her congressional district, had 29% for the Republican nominee, 27% for the Democratic nominee, and 26% for Gary Johnson. So we're 3 points back, at least in that congressional district in Utah. It's happening.
Tonight,
CNN is giving them another hour to 2 hours. They never really tell me how long these things are going to be. Last one was an hour and a half. They're giving them an hour and a half, say, in prime time on CNN with Anderson Cooper.
Yay.
We're in a position.
This is the promise. If Bill Weld got part of this ticket, which is what Gary Johnson was all going on about, and Alicia Dern that was running for VP gets up, oh, we just want to give Gary what he wants, and I kind of sort of almost endorse Weld if he'll say he won't stab
us. It's not well executed.
That he wouldn't say. Well, she didn't anticipate him being a politician.
Yep.
She thought he'd get up and say, yeah, I won't stab you in the back. I'm libertarian. And what do? He goes, well, I'm a card carrying. I got my card, and I'm a lifetime member. I got a card. I paid my $300, got a card. I'm like, seriously? That's it? That's all I get? Just dumb. So I'm all right. So they get the attention. They get on CNN. They do their town hall, whatever.
The last one?
First one that they did.
With Cuomo. Chris Cuomo.
I didn't watch it. Okay.
I watched part of it. I had an LNC meeting.
Well, we were at we're at Pork Fest. We're traveling. Yeah. And what happened was, what I did read was Justin Raimondo from Anti-War's tweet, you know, during the whole thing of kind of, I'm like, was it that bad? So I went to the video of it and I watched a YouTube about 5 minutes. I go, yep, it was, because it was not a clear hardcore. It was just.
It was not a clear hardcore message. Yeah, I'll agree with you.
It was not libertarian
at
all.
Here's the thing about the town hall, and this is something that I had to internalize because it made me feel better, and you know it may make you feel better.
Made me feel.
They're not talking to us.
No.
That was not directed
Absolutely.
At us. That
and
was,
I think it's a mistake.
And there's a guy in town who sells me cars.
I'm not
right?
as a bad whole, as that
a
guy.
A wholesaler.
Yeah.
And he's a Clinton voter. I mean, he's Democrat. And
oh, yeah, I'm going to need a car from you. So, you know, we'll talk.
So he comes in. He knows what I do in my spare time. And I said, did you see that town hall? He said, yeah, I saw a lot of it. You know, like most of it. I said, what did you think? Right. You're not one of me. You don't believe like I believe. What did you think? He said, those are good guys. Those are stand up guys. I could see those guys being president. They came across as articulate. They came across as they know what they're doing. You know, I thought I could. What he said was I could see myself voting for them. He may not. He still may. But now, you know, he has two options that he may choose in the presidential campaign. And they're one of them. And that's where we're at right now in the presidential. Not the state stuff, but the presidential.
I understand.
It's a name recognition race because the advantage we have and really the opportunity we have, the two old party candidates, their name recognition's topped out. Everybody in this country knows them.
Yeah.
Everybody in this country hates them.
Yeah.
That's kind of their problem. Johnson's name recognition's running in like the mid-30s. But when people get to know him, they like him. He's a likable guy.
Yeah, no,
he's
Gary
a thoughtful, responsible person. And he's so, and that's the thing about this election, so good, is that unique selling proposition. When you run two crazy bullies, we're different by having actual adults. Like Johnson and Weld both are sensible, sane adults. They're not crazy.
Let me tell you so that we understand.
Running not crazy is a good idea.
I want the audience to understand the difference here between, you know, Nick Guy get along fine. That's not the problem. The thing is that I see as it's a sickness. I'm kind of this Rothbard crazy guy. And I'm going, I used to.
I push the button.
I didn't even know what the hell Rothbard, what? They go, you Rothbardian? Like, I was like they're calling me the N-word or something, you know? And I was like, it was you Rothbardian? I'm like, wow, a Rothbardian? What the hell's a Rothbardian? I go, look, I go, yeah, well, he said.
Early, you know? Rothbard's good. Late Rothbard's a little crazy.
Well, what happened was this. And, of course, we were influenced a lot by, you know, L. Neil Smith, which might be the same thing. And what happened was, when you talk about, yeah, I can see this presidential candidate. Yeah, I can see him rule me. You know, I want that guy to rule me. I want him to be boss of me. I want, he's got the right paperwork and his, you know, the birth certificate's in the right place. And I vote him. My guy, you know, beat up your Putin or something. I mean, you know, I'm team that. And I'm going, that mentality is the problem,
right?
I'm like, we don't have enough government. I think we should have 7 billion governments, and it's, you know, and I get mine, you right. know. So that concept is what I'm selling. So when I use these guys, see, he will rule you better. That's the wrong answer. I would, God forbid, Gary Johnson get up there and say, you know what, I'm here for the original concept why this show is called Declare Your Independence. The purpose of government is to protect your right to be left alone. And for you to be able to rule yourself, that you can do whatever you want as long as you're not bothering anybody else. The purpose of government is individual rights. And when it doesn't do that, it's time to alter or abolish. And I'm here to help alter or abolish. Vote for me.
Right.
Well, who's against that? The whole entire machine. So you're trying to sneak it in. We're gonna sneak in. And I'm like, you are not going to sneak in. It has to be a popular rise up support of this. And it doesn't matter how many Levolutions or Ron Paul examples you can give. The people inside the party, no. It's got to be a new ruler and he's on my side and I wear the same lapel pin. And I'm going, that is the mistake, in my opinion.
I get what you're saying.
So I want to change it. I don't want my kids growing up.
But it's a mix.
I'm team libertarian.
You know what it is? It's running a political campaign is hard because you have to do segmented marketing. You
have to
build a coalition. And so I fully believe that both Gary Johnson and Bill Weld agree with you that the purpose of government is to protect people's rights, and that other than that, it should leave you alone to make your own choices.
I don't know. Well, saying some crazy stuff.
The language that they use is language that they're trying to reach more people. You know, there's a thing. I speak at a lot of state party conventions. One of the things I talk about is, you know, as libertarians, we need to communicate in a way where we can be heard. And I ask for a show of hands. So what do you call the political party, not the elephant one, the jackass one? What do you call it?
They, them, those.
No, I mean, what do you call them if you have to say their name?
Oh, Democrats?
Yeah.
But
what's the name of the party?
Oh, I don't know. Democrats, I guess.
Okay. So there's...
Well, you got, what, Grand Ole Party, GOP, you got the Democrat, the Communist. See, that's one thing.
So you
call the Republicans Communist and the Democrats Fascist, and you're as accurate as if you went the other way. It doesn't make any difference.
So there are a lot of people... I asked for a show of hands. How many people in here refer to that party, the jackass one, as the Democrat Party? And there'll be about 35-40% will raise their hand and say they call them the Democrat Party. And I say, I've got bad news for you. You are not able to be heard by somebody who identifies with the Democratic Party because they call themselves the Democratic Party. The Democrat Party was a shibboleth that was created by Republicans to kind of put them down because they like that hard T at the end, that rat. They like that. And a lot of these people...
Republican and Democrat.
And a lot of people in the room, they don't even know that that's a problem. They don't know that what they're saying is making it so someone else can't hear them. How we choose our language... Maybe we can't communicate 100% of what's in our head to the other person, but if we can keep the door open, we can communicate some of it. And that's kind of the balancing act that I see our presidential candidate and vice presidential candidate having to do, is they want to present that pro-freedom message, but they have to present it in language where someone can hear them. And there are a lot of people in the middle, not people like you and I, that can't hear certain things if they're put in certain phrases. And so they're doing the best they can. Like I said before, you know, you get on board with what you can get on board with. Hey, Make me some Bill Weld taxation is theft shirts. I'll wear them.
I just can't. It doesn't.
If it doesn't spin your wheels, then you go do something else.
No, it goes like this. I've been a host on Air America. I mean, you know, I've got written during the 08 thing. I got Kucinich and Obama and Hillary guys on my show. They're freaking out. I've had Kucinich on my show a couple of times. You know, I mean, he's a big anti-war guy, so he likes coming. He goes, hey, can I come on next week? I mean, I'm like, yes, you can. I mean, you know, so what happened was, is as I'm talking to these people, the only thing that message I could get across, I put my hand on their shoulder and I say, whose life is this? And they were like, well, I don't know, mine. I mean, it's yours or somebody else's. I mean, you know, that's all I want to know. Mine. I go, okay, welcome to being libertarian. Well, if I go taxation is theft, Bill Weld, and that's kind of like, you know, there's a principle behind that.
Right.
That got violated 15 other policies that he had. And I'm going, it's just not consistent. I just can't. He says that, but he says this. See, it just doesn't. The message is lost.
But that's the thing is most people aren't. I mean, this is one thing that frustrates me about some people is they're saying that consistency is the highest good. Consistency is not the highest good. People are imperfect people. Nobody's consistent on everything. Everybody's got their little blind spots.
Launched Ron Paul, man. I'm telling you, that consistent 13-year-old.
He was consistent on a lot of stuff.
And they go, hey, he's been saying this for, yes, he has.
He's not consistent on pork barrel spending for his district, but he's consistent on most things.
He repatriation of money back to my district.
Right. But that's the thing is, you know, you don't. I judge him based on the body of work. I don't say, oh, well, he did one thing that was... My wife has this issue. You know, like, she's a big Redskins fan. And she liked watching Chris Cooley, but she never liked him once he cheated on his wife. Once he cheated on his wife, he was, like, dead to her. And I get that perspective, but I also get the idea that, you know, you can look at an artist's art and not really care so much about how they live their life, right? You can still appreciate what they do that's good, even though they did some bad stuff too. And maybe it comes from being a public defender, you know, where you're fighting against this idea that you define someone as the worst thing that they've ever done in their life, because that's what the prosecutor wants to do. You have to look at the person as a whole person. And yeah, they did a bad thing. but, you know, they're a father, they're a son, they do a lot of other stuff too, you know? And so I try and be charitable to people, and that's how I look at, you know, there's some stuff that I don't agree with Johnson on, there's some stuff I don't agree with Weld on, but I try and find the areas of agreement and things that, that I can stand up proudly and say, like, this is why you should vote for this guy. You should vote for this guy because of these things that, that he believes that I believe. These are our shared values. And I don't focus on, you know, something where he doesn't want to go as far as I want to go. I don't want to have that argument.
The candidates usually see, especially Weld, was like, you know, I'm here to help the party and be the party so the party can help and do in the party. And I'm going, okay, well, some candidates like, you know, like Barr and Root and all these guys, they're like, hey, man, you know, the party is there to serve whatever. gosh darn it, I'm pretty, and, you know, yeah. And I'm just enough of a narcissist that, you know, you should kind of, it's me. And I'm going, then they go, oh, no, I'm here for the party. And kind of, I don't care. It's always been the principle, the philosophy, the education, the understanding. So I'm like looking, you know, what's the metric that you go on that? Well, I'm thinking it's just going to happen. It's an osmosis of the society we live in. And we're trending in the economics and the banking, the wars, and yada, yada, yada. So we're going to go, there's going to be a lot more libertarian world has already started to happen, right, just from communication. So after this election cycle, is it Gary Johnson 2020, or is it, you know, the Libertarian Party, you know, we made it through this campaign election cycle and we're not as sucky as them and you should join us? Is it the expansion on the local state level? Is it, so your future, having been grown up with this stuff, second generation, been in Washington, attorney, Institute for Justice, you're one of the they, them, those. I mean, if I look, I deal with Tom Jenny here and Nick and all these guys.
Supposed to have lunch with Tom a week from now.
Yeah, tell him Pace. I mean, I will. So this is, and he'll come on the show, and, you know, right, Tom and I get along fine. And he used to wear an actual AstroTurf square around his neck on a chain. Going, damn, Skippy, I'm the AstroTurf guy. Because he's bucking for a job. You need a crowd? You need somebody to do kind of show support, man? I'm the guy. I got the AstroTurf database of here I am. But he was like, it was like a resume. And I'm going, all right, at least you're honest about
it. Some people mobilize. You know, that's what they do.
Pace. So this is, I've been dealing with these guys for decades.
Right.
And I understand the battles, but they do understand me. That's why they can come to me when we have our interest overlap. I'm hoping that, you know, the national party, the state party, because I deal with Mike, but I don't, that party, I don't go to me, I don't care. But what happens is when our interests overlap, I'm your new best friend. Right. At the party, I was trying to get you to come to the party at Carrie's or whatever, because you love, you know, Drew Carey better than me. But, you know, the thing is that...
He's got better weed than you knew.
Yeah. I you know, that's another
He didn't
thing.
Share, but he does have better weed than you.
So this is something that... Well, you don't know that. You aren't here at the party. So we have a lot of the candidates here and so on. I show them all the stuff that we can do. I've said, look, we can... Oh, you can... I can nothing. You can do it. I got the facilities here. We can have some fun.
You control the means of production.
Yeah, I don't control it. It's there. Peace out, you know? We even had, you know, the progressives. We had the Zeitgeist guys. We have, we bring down the workshop. Yeah, here, make duplicate. I don't care. Thinking they were going to change us. We knew what was going to happen.
Right.
They're going to start, their guys are starting, hey, what's this libertarian thing? So I'm asking you, after all this process of you being in, we got New Orleans in 18.
It's going to be a party.
Where's the party? Damn, Skippy. You know, Weeks is going to be the poster child for it. So I'm going, so what is the plan? What's the future? What's your success? How are you going to get their participation? I always had a plan, and the plan was let them have their plan. You know, you can go, how can I facilitate you do whatever?
No plan survives first contact with the enemy.
There you go.
Yeah.
You can't beat up my plan. I didn't have one. Well, I mean, they had their own individual 15 gazillion plan. If you're a resource, they will implement it. I can give you 15 gazillion, you know, examples of the spontaneous order of letting them do it. What is the plan that you have? Let me make this point. When I'd run for office, you had the Republican and Democrat. I got a plan, and my plan is better than their plan. What's your plan, Libertarian? And I go, for you to have your own plan. I go, I tell you what, that's the whole point of this whole thing was you get to have your own plans on here, as long as you're not messing up my plan. Well, that's not a plan. I need somebody to tell me what to do. Well, then go find somebody to tell you what to do. I'm not that guy.
It's basic economics. You know, the less you do, the better you can do it. That's how things work. The fewer things you try and control, the better control you'll have over the things that you try and control. The fewer things that you try and do, the more energy and focus you can put into those things. You know, I like to tell reporters I've got a 2-year plan and a 20-year plan, right? So Obviously my goal this cycle is to make sure that the Libertarian Party comes out stronger after the election than it was before the election, that we don't lose the growth that we have. This is something that one of my opponents for chair.
Well, it's also the kind of growth.
Mark Rutherford talked about this, was that we typically have a drop off after a presidential cycle. I want to make sure we don't make that mistake. I do want to get invited to inaugural balls. We'll see whether we can make that happen. That's maybe a longer shot, but there's a narrow path for it. But as a 20-year plan, I fully expect that by the time my kids are adults, that we will be the dominant political party in this country. The two old parties are just...
I just want to be the dominant philosophy. That party thing is like second to that. And you're not going to be the dominant if you're not the cultural support of it.
Right. But,
and
I mean,
won't stick even if you are.
But it's synergistic, right? You know, the culture is pushing... So the party had two positions from the very beginning. Drug legalization and...
Anti-war.
Marriage equality. Or not getting involved with people's sexual relationships.
You're talking early 70s.
Yeah. So from the beginning, both of those things aren't, you know.
Yeah, the draft was a big deal, too.
Draft was a big deal. Marriage equality is now law of the land, and cannabis legalization is now law of about, we're getting to about half. Those issues, we've been successful on them without getting elected. But the old parties never got on board with them, you know, except for the gay marriage thing. Eventually, Democrats ran in front of that parade and were like, oh, yeah, we were here, too.
Yeah.
So a lot of political success comes from not defining political success by the rules of the oppressor.
I don't
define political success, you know. Yeah, 50% plus one, and then your guy gets in, or 34% plus one.
By a computer number?
That is a success. But the other success is, let's say that you don't win the election, but in order to win the election, your opponent had to co-opt your position. Well, now you got to have your position implemented, and you didn't have to do the job.
Absolutely.
Isn't that cool? And that's where, you know, we have had
a lot of successes here. In Arizona, when I ran for Secretary of State in 94, I'm running against Speaker of the House and President of the Senate. And they both, I mean, they wanted that position. I knew why. Because they had just passed legislation making it illegal for you to ever compare the paper with what the computer said. And they go, Mr. Hancock, do you think there's election fraud? And they throw the, you know, they kind of go like this, and they throw the microphone in your face, you know, haphazardly. And I go, yeah, I got proof. And they go, what? What's the crazy libertarian going to say? And I go, they just passed legislation making sure you couldn't find it. How much proof you need? And they're going, how's the weather? I mean, you know, they don't really care.
Right.
They're just looking for. So what happens is, you know, they were co-opting our position. I would get endorsed by the high school and the college paper and all that. Of course, not the big papers, but, you know, all this, they're going, what the hell? So they both started saying the same thing. Right. Oh, yeah, we're on the televised debate on PBS, and they're just repeating. And I remember being, like, dumbfounded looking at Rios, the president of the Senate, and I'm like, wow. You know, you know they're not going to do this, right? I just want to make sure everybody knows this isn't going to happen. But that doesn't matter. It is the fact, like you say, that they had to co-opt our ideas to get elected. Right. It is a demonstration of the culture. That's my point. They will jump in front of the parades that we created, and they go, and I get a lot of pushback. But Ernie, they're taking credit for our freedom.
It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. County, I'm like, credit. I'm supposed to give a crap, and I didn't have to do it.
I have plenty of accomplishments in life. I don't need credit for any of this stuff. What I need is to have us actually win, as I define winning. You touched on it before. You know, Powell Gamel, may he rest in peace. When he controls the balance of power, when you know,
Kingmaker.
People talk about spoiler. And spoiler, you're just looking at the thing backwards. It's upside down. Flip it on its head. If the old party candidates are separated by 5 points and you have 10 points, you have more power and more control over who wins that election than either of them. You control it. You determine what issues rule the day. You determine what direction they have to go. You know, people say, well, you take from the Republicans. Like, actually, exits show that usually we take from the Democrats in the last, you know, 5 to 10 years. But we could take from whoever we want. We have this platform that's really nice because it's all your freedoms all the time. And I can pick three issues where I'm going to take from the Democrat. I can pick three issues where I'm going to take from the Republican. And it's my choice. It's not your choice.
You know, the U.S. Senate candidate,
Marissa Hamilton.
Yeah, she's going to be at Jackalope this weekend, and she gets to talk, and we'll help her along, get whatever. And she's doing this My Three Issues thing. And I'm going, yeah, I wouldn't go more than three. But I mean, I don't, you know, pick one. What's your passion? What's your, you know, how do you segment, you know, the freedom? I mean, you know, you just have this one thing that you really know a lot about, and then it just relates to everything, you know, from right. your personal experience, and it kind of comes up. But so it's like you got to be careful. You got to be consistent. From my perspective, when you say tax issues is theft, but then you got regulation of this fee of the blah, blah, blah. I mean, it just doesn't flush with people because the reporters and the voters, they're looking for you to be in because they're looking for that crack. They want right. to put a wedge in. So you don't give it to them. I mean, don't help them.
Oh, no, you give it to them. You know why you give it to them?
Why?
Because then you get an interview where they try and put the wedge in. And then if you're good at this stuff, you shove that wedge so far.
All right.
They won't try and stick another wedge in me.
Maybe you or I could get away with this. You decades of we can play, but a lot of these guys, they don't. And they don't put me on national television live anymore. I did this CNN, just Ernest Hancock CNN. You'll see why. They tried it. And I'm going, well, golly shuckins, G. Willikers.
Well,
yeah,
they tried to do that to me. I got a live hit on MSNBC that Monday morning.
Yeah, actually, they sent me.
Yeah, they sent me a car. And they tried to jump me with, you know, the guy who didn't win my job. And I said, look, you know, we had a guy who tried to make our process into a joke. We ejected him. They have a guy that's trying to make their process into a joke. They're going to nominate him. I think the libertarians are fine. And that interview got real short after that because I didn't give them what they wanted. But I got the interview because they thought they could stick a wedge in me.
Yeah. No, and we got, you know, Weeks took one for the team. You know, he should get some props.
And we will make lemonade out of our lemons.
Yeah, back up that 18-wheeler of lemons to my lemonade stand.
Exactly. You give me the mic and I'll do what I need to do. And that's, you know, that's the whole philosophy. It's never giving up. It's never not showing up. You know, it's like being the worst football team in the NFL won three games last season. But they played all 16. They never stopped showing up for games just because they lost the last four. You show up every single time. You never give up. You never surrender.
There was a movie, not Galaxy Quest, but there was a movie, Never Give Up, Never Surrender. There was a movie with Keanu Reeves about some baseball team. He's helping kids as part of his whatever. And I remember
probably one of the Bad News Bears remakes.
Yeah, that wasn't that similar. And he goes, you know, 90% is just showing up.
Right.
And I remember, and all the problems that each of these inner city kids had and everything, that just showing up was a thing. And for some reason, it just stuck in my head in that example. And I've always been, at least I show up.
Right.
And I do, you know, I've run for, God, I think I, you know, between 1990 and 2016, I may have missed three elections that I wasn't a candidate for every 2 years. You know, something. And then it just, in spite, but it's always the forward, how would I forward the ball? It's not just I do it just to do, because I want to do it. And right. No, that was, it was, there's some issue, some method, some, it even helped the party. You know, here in Arizona, to maintain status or get some attention, something. Because they're always screwing with us, because here comes Karl Rove, and we got to take care of Arizona, those efforts, man. Because
they're going to be sad that they did what they did.
I know.
They're going to pay.
I know. We're there's so much long term that we just, you know, you thank you for, I mean, playing. You have no idea what you're dealing with.
You talk about Patton, but I'm more of a MacArthur guy. We will return.
Well,
and
this
you're not going to like us when we come back.
Well, and that's where I can help. But you know, why would people register libertarian in the state of Arizona? You got to give them a reason, a goal, a mission. And that mission is not so we can be bitter and badder and elect Weld VP. That is not going to be it. Okay. It's more of the, you know, Judd Weiss kind of let life live exit politics. Go look that up. Donna put up exit politics in the third hour, and you'll see the flavor of the future of what's coming.
Right.
It's going to get a lot worse before it gets better.
Well, it's also you're signing up to withdraw your consent. You're going on record. When you re-register libertarian, and we're working on a national push, like National Re-Register Week, one of our LNC members, actually the youngest LNC member I think of all time, is only 18, Trent Soames from Pennsylvania. He's putting together this National Re-Registration Week where it's like, come out of the closet, stand up and be counted as, I don't consent to having bullies run my life. I'm not going to be part of those clubs anymore. I'm going to be part of a club that actually stands for something, that represents me. And it's a way, like you've said, it's not the only thing, but it's a thing. It's a thing that they can count.
I like the registration thing. I can give you a bunch of examples, but the bottom line is that when somebody registered and get their little card and it kind of says, but I hate to say that even is accurate, because I remember in the 08 election, Donna, I want to go vote for Ron Paul. Oh, you got to register Republican or dude and kind of join. I want to vote for Ron Paul. I'll go with you, but I ain't doing that because I already know how this works, right? So mine in the general election, I did, well, we went and they, you got a voter registration. Oh, we don't have you. And it's in a challenge ballot of a, what do they call it? Not a proxy ballot.
Oh, I could tell you. Provisional.
Provisional.
I could tell you stories from Maine.
Oh, yeah. It was just it's stupid. And that's why I'm, running for county recorder, because I had ran against her in 10, I think. And she bitched this up. And they want it. And if the Democrat gets it because I'm in there, good, because I got decades of crap I've been dealing with. What's it going to be worse? I don't care. I'm like, you're still voting? No, it doesn't make any difference. I get to say what I want to say about voting. And this will be the fourth, it's either Secretary of State or County Recorder. I'm going to go, ooh, everything I've been saying, has it happened? Hello? I got a whole bunch of stuff. Well, the thing is that, when Donna did this, it was like she sanctioned this freaking bullshit.
Right.
And I'm going, why would you? So this is what I did. In the general election in 08, I voted. This is how I did it. I printed out a nice, it was on a parchment paper, like a little constitution thing. And I had, big Ron Paul on it. And I vote for Ron Paul. Okay. So I had, what are they going to do, bar? Anyway, so I had Ron Paul on there. And I put it right in. I signed it, had my voter ID number and all that kind of officials I could make it or whatever. I walked in and they have my name and they're going to here and they hand me the ballot. I didn't even turn around. I took this, put it on top of it and just laid it back on the table and walked out the door. They yelled at me. They go, it's not going to count. And I go, yeah, it is. I just counted it. I'm good. I don't need you. I just counted. Done. I did. Done. Right. Done. It shows right there that I showed up and I put in, I'm done. So,
well, it goes back to like I was talking, one of the key tenets of Stoicism is this idea that you only control what you do in your own life. Everything else is outside your control. So when you go back to, your incorrect argument about whether or not you should vote, I don't control who counts them. I control what I do. I went and did the thing, right? I did the thing that I was supposed to do. And if you want to,
the thing they wanted you to do.
I did the thing. I did the thing that I chose to do. And it meant what I meant it to mean.
Process.
And how they choose to count it is how they choose to count it. But, votes aren't bets. I did this speech at Freedom Fest. It's good. You can, for $5, you can get the audio. They've got it. Votes aren't bets. I had a ticket in my pocket. My wife makes me buy a $10 ticket for the Redskins to win the Super Bowl. It's probably wasted money. If I'm right about that, I get a lot of money. Right?
Yeah, Redskins, you get a lot.
If 40-1. If I'm right about who's president, unless I'm like a major donor that's going to get an ambassadorship, I don't get jack. Right? I get to say what I was right. Who cares? It's not a bet. Voting isn't betting unless you got a bookie. Voting is an expression of your preference for it's speech. It's your values. It's you saying, this is my preference. And yeah, you're right. Maybe you express your preference and they just say, I don't really care what your preference is. I'm giving you who I want to anyway. Maybe we get to a Myanmar thing and they just, or, the Republican National Convention, where they just cut off a sitting senator's mic from Utah and say, Utah's votes, Utah cast 40 votes for Ted Cruz. Per the convention rules, Utah cast 40 votes for Donald Trump. It's like, there's your fairness and democracy. That's it writ large. But for all those people who decided that they wanted Cruz, they did the thing that they could do, that they controlled. They said, this is my preference. And yeah, the chair of the convention decided not to acknowledge their preference, but they still did what they could do. And that's what I'm talking about.
I'm wondering what it is. I need to be clear on what I'm doing. And I tell you, when I stopped voting, it was 2002. I don't even remember what the hell was going on. You know, I had our restaurant, and we're busy and doing whatever. And you do to-do lists. You got a little box, and you know, get milk, take kids to school, do blah, 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 vote. And you always feel better about when you check off, an item. You go, I checked, hey, I did that. Okay, I accomplished this. I checked off the voting, and I felt worse. Like I did something wrong. Like I was lying to myself. It was a delusion, and I knew it to be true. So I'm just going, nah, I'm not doing that anymore. I trust my instincts. So when you say I'm registering my preference, you're registering a preference for government or the system to be ruled. Now, if it's accurate...
Right, but we're like the un-party, kind of like the un-cola. We're the un-party. When you vote libertarian, you're not voting to be ruled. You're voting to not be ruled. We're the only political party that actually stands for the idea that you run your own goddamn life.
See, this is the one thing that I'm talking to, or that we have a benefit of the Nick Swarark, they're kind of we're doing whatever, is that is possible now if we can marry all the groups of we can see the libertarian movement is in. Where did it go? It was like the levolution of the spontaneous order of out. Everybody gets to do whatever the hell and kind of is, you know, a thing.
Right.
It didn't just like go into the Libertarian Party. The Libertarian Party didn't welcome that.
No, it's
kind
gone
of
into a lot of other places, and I'm trying to get it back.
I'm
setting up my little Pokemon lure, and I'm going to try and get people to.
Don't even. I'm going, and there is some tech, there's some money, there's some crypto, there's some, you know, young guys that are hardcore anarchists of now I'm worth $100 million. There are a lot of things I might be able to help with. What I can't help with is the concept that's so counter to everything that they're about, is that we got to support the system because we're in the system, and we got a party of the system. When you can use that and demonstrate that, like what you said, when you're voting for libertarian, or you at least register for libertarian. I had to go redo my registration. I haven't voted in so long, it keep taking me off. So I go, I have to, if I'm going to register or vote as a libertarian, like assuming they count it, that process, that mechanism, that preference is a vote for something that they can support, which is the leave me aloneist mentality to bite me. If that's muddy, and I got a bunch of Johnson Weld stuff that doesn't help facilitate that, and the party doesn't take it back after, and we're going into the 18 election cycle, and the Libertarian Party is we're about, and put my hand on your shoulder, and it's all about you own yourself, of philosophy of liberty animation, of blah, blah, blah. If that is not the message, I can't help.
The party's message will always be that hardcore message as long as I'm chair of the party. That's what I can do. I can't make every candidate do everything that I would do. I can't make them say everything I would say.
Nor should you even try.
Nor should I try, because honestly, I haven't been a candidate for public office. I've never been a candidate for external office.
This is the argument that they gain and go, Ernie, if you're elected chair, you'll do a purge and get rid of the company. I'm going, why would they even? Of course, they just say that, but I'm going, I don't care. I just want it defined. I just want the platform, which they stripped in 06. I'm going, I said, let me tell you what's going to happen. 6 months later, here comes Ron Paul, and they're done in the dust.
Let me finish my point.
Is I'm going, there is not going to be a purge. There's just a definition. They go, well, this guy doesn't go by the platform if it says, and I go, yeah, I'm glad you noticed that. Peace out. That's his problem. Go talk to him.
Right.
What am I supposed to do about it? I don't want to do anything. I don't care. I just want to keep the message clean. If you can do that, if you can make the party representative of party of principle, if there can be some clear, and it's a individual candidates and campaigns, they do whatever, you
right,
can judge them by that.
They make
the choices
they make.
Yeah, so, but the party, what they would, it's like what they did with Barr. They thought that Barr couldn't run unless the party is like all these other parties, is that they change the platform for the freaking candidate. And I'm going, who the hell even thinks that way? Why would you even do that?
Well, the problem with doing that is it. And, you know, parties are coalitions. They're loose affiliations of people who have shared interests, who, you know, don't agree on everything, but they agree on enough things. That's the 9 out of 12 deal, right? We're all rowing in the same direction. When you let your party platform, what you stand for, vacillate based on who you nominate, you lose directionality. You become rudderless. You have these flip-flops, you have these pendula where, you know, you've got the Goldwater thing, and then that kicks back to the other thing when people, you know, watch Goldwater take a shotgun blast to the face, but then you sort of had the Reagan thing, but then now you've got that guy who they've nominated. It stops meaning something. So we have the distinction, you know, we're the only serious ideological party in the country. We actually have principles. We have a thing, you know, and sometimes we're real close to them and sometimes we're farther away. My biggest problem with the guys in Portland, it's not that they got what they wanted, right? You know, they showed up, they got the votes, they did their thing, right? I'm a big boy. This ain't beanbag. My problem was that they quit afterwards. That's what pissed me off, is you win and then you leave. Come on. You got what you wanted. So stay and do the work. You know, don't quit. That's people who walk out are the only people that I have a lot of trouble working with. I'll work with people who I don't agree with on a lot of the current national secretary. I don't think I've agreed on a policy issue.
And with what's her name? I forgot.
Mattson.
No, her first name. Alicia.
Yeah. Alicia. I don't think I've agreed with her on a policy issue in well over 10 years. But we work together for party stuff because we both show up and do the work. And that's important. You know, I think that we can maintain that vision. And Ron Paul is actually an example that I've used for people, you know, back for the presidential run that I liked in 88 when he ran for the right party. He would tell people when they'd say, you know, you're pro-life, but the party's platform is pro-choice. He'd say, yeah, this is my position. It's different from the party platform. The party believes this. I believe this other thing. That's all I ask of candidates, is just show the respect to say, this is where me as a person, as an individual, I've decided that I want to take this position, and it's different from what the party platform says. So I agree with them on, you know, these 10 things, and then there's these other two that I don't. Don't make it your leading issue, because that's just strategically unsound, and have the respect to say, I made a choice that's different from the party, you know, and that's when we have presidential candidates who have issues that are not necessarily on platform. You know, I can think of at least one with our current presidential candidate. I've been very pleased that he doesn't lead with it anymore. In 12, he talked about it a lot more.
What?
The fair tax. He doesn't.
Wow.
He doesn't.
He still says too much.
No, but he doesn't throw his chin out. You know what I mean? Like, don't walk into the punch.
Yeah.
If you get asked about it, you say, look, this is the solution that I think is a good solution as a candidate, not what the party says. That's all I ask.
And the people that give me the most money want it.
Yeah. But, you know, life is a messy business, and running for office is a messier part of life. And so I like to look for the things, you know, I talk about the things,
you know,
I agree on.
The abortion issue, this is the one thing where, you know, I kind of served in a 08 campaign. A good friend that ran for governor here, and we were activists. The first libertarian I ever met that I even heard the word libertarian from back in 91 or something. And I was invited to speak at the state convention, which had Andre Marue and Dick Body back in the day.
Oh, Dick Body, man. So he's still around.
Yeah. You know, he published some of his stuff or not. So I'm, you know, that was back in the day. He's Catholic, left when the read my lips, no new taxes and all that kind of Bush thing. He's like, and I'm done. Because he's a principled guy, a good Catholic of faith of whatever. He had a organization that we helped with our printing press. We'd print his envelopes for and everything, called First Way. And it was an adoption thing for unwanted pregnancy kind of. So, but he had a solution. He goes, I'm not talking about the abortion issue. We're just trying to take care of the child. You know, right. We're just going to do the libertarian thing.
Focus on what you can fix.
So when I was his campaign chair and he ran for mayor, as if abortion's a mayor thing, but they always bring it up. So his whole thing was certainly pro-life is an option, but he wanted, you know, we'll take these crisis pregnancies and, you know, we'll just deal with the child. So mine, as county chairman, you know, I got to go, oh, well, you got this candidate and you're a campaign chairman. I go, look, libertarians look at the abortion issue, but they use the same principle. Where you'll go, the purpose of government is defense of individual rights. It's just, when do you think there's an individual? Okay. Right. So they're going, this is a human being, individual. That's my thing. Government right to, boom.
And
then they go, nope, it's after. Yeah.
And conflict of rights.
Yeah.
Between two individuals.
Yeah, you have, it's a parasite on the woman of, she kind of, they go hardcore on something like that. Yeah, So this is, you make these kind of extreme arguments, but I'll go, a libertarian can look at a pro-life and a pro-choice candidate, and they both be libertarian and use libertarian principle to make the position.
Right.
It's defense of individual. It's just, when is that an individual? So there's a lot of argument, and it was a big battle for, it was in the early 2000s, I think. It was right, and it was a battle. It was Judge Buttrick and Gary Fallon. And there was not this ouch, quit it, going back. They just made the point and, made the arguments, and it was in the platform that life begins at conception. Where it was, life begins at birth. And we're going, no. What is it, scientifically correct? Back and forth. And I think I remember that the party did go, yeah, we concede life begins at conception, just to be accurate. It's, when does the government get involved? So when I started doing radio in 03, of course, abortion's going to be, oh, there's a libertarian on drag, I'll do the abortion thing. So I'm going, look, I love having this discussion because, it really gets down to the what a libertarian is. And I'm going, like, in China, you have to have an abortion. I'm going, do we want that? Do I want Uncle Sam's smelly, stinky, filthy fist in the womb up in, my wife, my daughter, my, my girlfriend, my mother, my sister? I go, hell no. So, that concept is not a role for government, certainly at a federal level. So then you have Ron gets up and he makes these points. So with these kinds of libertarian philosophy, man, you can be freaking Jedi master if I kick Vader's butt, as long as you got a principle by which to, argue something with. Because then you're just arguing opinion instead of facts.
Right. I did an interview the other day with Climate Action, which is a climate change organization in the UK. But they get a lot of readers from the U.S., and they said, what's your position on climate change? I'm like, the party doesn't really have a position on science, right? What our position is that it doesn't usually work for the government to decide what kind of energy we should use to subsidize some kinds and prohibit other kinds. You look at the backlash against nuclear. You look at the subsidization of fossil fuels. What we're saying is nobody's smart enough to figure that stuff out. And we certainly shouldn't be using your tax dollars to say, like, these guys who are my friends, they get money and these other guys don't get money. The question of whether or not the science is there is a scientific question. We're focused on the political question of, does that mean that you should be spending tax money to do something, to implement policy, to say, we subsidize oil exploration, but we prohibit nuclear power plants. That's the sort of things where we make mistakes, is when we try and get too big for our britches and get too smart about, we'll have a smart guy in a room and he'll figure everything out. It's just, I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how much you read. Individuals are limited by our own bandwidth, right? We can't know everything. This is fundamental Hazlitt, right? This is basic economics. That's why price mechanisms work.
It's so much easier. I go, no, it's just a fundamental principle. It's like what you're saying with the energy subsidies. You got, but who will build the roads? Well, there was, road tax that actually went to roads. I mean, I'm already paying for a gallon of whatever,
right?
And they're going, we spent that money.
Yeah.
So I'm going, you guys, you're your own worst enemy.
It's funny because it's one of the taxes that actually makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah.
Spend it on other stuff.
I'm not falling on the sword. if I want to be a robot, I'll just get me a Tesla. But, the thing is, we need to
mileage tax.
Now,
yeah.
I know that's going to suck.
Well, it's just like Uber getting around. You have all these taxi regulations. They're like, well, Uber doesn't fit. Well, no shit, it doesn't fit. It's better. It's not supposed to fit. We're not trying to fit. We're trying to make it so people can get from A to B more easily. We don't really care about your regulations. It's not a big deal for us.
Okay, I'll give you a good example. We were talking yesterday. God, who was the guest I had? It was about Eros, which was a company that took from the airwaves and then redistributed it on your own antenna that you can watch local television.
I remember that Supreme Court decision.
So the Supreme Court, what did they say? They go, well, technically, yeah, you're probably right, but you're perceived as a cable company, and screw you, you're not allowed. And I'm going, you just kind of make this stuff up as they go along.
Yeah, that happens sometimes in the law. You get basically, it's the same way that you get with piercing the corporate veil, is they make the equitable argument that, it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck and talks like a duck, it...
Because
you can, tell me that technically it's...
They just wanted to control you.
You can tell me it's technically not a duck, but we're going to call it a duck. That happens.
Damn it.
That happens. I should probably...
Yeah, we wrapped it up. Thanks for spending this extra time.
Absolutely.
And I think the audience can, see, and there's going to be, a lot of our friends and so on will be listening to this. And it's good to have this conversation with Nick because, since childhood, he remembers all the, I don't know what side he took a pin, doesn't care. But the fact that you take the position that Ernie's and friends get to at least have their say, and I would imagine you're, I don't know. What do you want? Do you want us to, go to conventions and participate and run for office and vote in the kind of whatever and then us not be that influential? You want us to be influential? You want, the Daryl Perry's to win nomination or not? Or, what's your goal?
I want everybody to be the best libertarian they can. And you decide what that means to you. My goal is, as it says in our statement of principles, is nothing more than or less than a world set free in my lifetime. I want to have my kids grow up in a country that's freer than the one that I grew up in. And I will use whatever tools are at my disposal to make that happen. And if it means, flying to LA to go to a dinner at a billionaire's house to try and get a bunch of money to do that, I'll do that. That means going out and standing on the street with a sign and waving it to, build up culture. I'll do that too. It's the answer is always
there's no central
the answer
plan
is always
for
why not both? Why not both?
There's no central plan for freedom, as Mark would say. Mark Victor. It's been good. I'm glad we had this conversation. Hopefully you'll be able to come over for some of the party and just socializing because it's just chill and the kids are welcome and we go and we throw the scuba tank in the pool and everybody can go play and
awesome.
They do and got the BB gun archery if they end that. we just get all kinds of we're keep it safe, but it's a libertarian thing. But the
freedom is dangerous. Dangerous.
Well, fortunately we can have enough loud music here. We have enough property, but it's I'm looking forward for you to meet a lot of the guys that were such an engine behind a lot of the cultural shift and notoriety for Arizona. Why is it always what the hell? And there was a reason for it. And it's because we showed up, because we did. But it wasn't always the way maybe you would want. But we were always there. So this is, I'm hoping that in the future we go to New Orleans, because I've been encouraging people to go to New Orleans, because I know what's going to happen. It's going to be Monday New Orleans, and it's going to be wherever the hell somebody wants, and it's going to be who shows up if they care about the Libertarian Party having any kind of a say in this. But I'm just, it's hard to get a lot of these to care. I don't care. I'm going over here doing, is there a role for it? Well, you think there is. And I think Nick is giving the best representation of, even if you have a different philosophy of how this, it's a political party and we should, and I'm going, yeah, but it was never really created for that. It was more of an educational thing. Well, we can merge the two and we can be in rule and whatever. So I'm going, all right, if you're going to try that, I think under your guidance, I won't even say guidance. Under your
not even that good.
Yeah, what is it that you do under your
facilitation?
Thank you. Under the facilitation of this, I think that we might be able to work together. And we'll start here in Arizona. We're already doing some stuff and doing it. And I need to talk when we walk you out. But the there is going to be a day, and it's going to be some Monday. And you're going to wake up, and this stuff doesn't happen. I always say this. Nobody really understood what I was saying until recently. It won't happen all at once, but it will happen overnight. And it's like all this stuff you kind of see going on, and then all of a sudden it's Monday morning one time, and the Dow was in half, and the dollar went to crap, and the mushroom cloud is somewhere. And what are you going to latch on to? It's going to be your relationships, your family, your philosophy, the future that you are willing to work for yourself. And we're trying.
Conventional wisdom is true until it's not.
Yeah. Everything's impossible until it's not. Hey, thanks a lot for coming on, man.
Thank you, Ernie.
It's been real. Peace. We'll see you on. We're going up to Jackalope tonight, so there'll be some reruns until we might do a show as some podcasts, from up there. But we'll see you back on the radio Tuesday.